attention you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes.
Put your hands together for Georgia's very own Mega Millions winner.
$390 million. Even sounds like Mega Millions, doesn't it? Two winners, one from Rocky Face in North Georgia, a truck driver named Ed Neighbors.
I just went numb. I went to wait for my arm. You know, just sat there.
He knows what he's going to do next.
You know what you're going to do?
I'm going fishing.
Okay.
He's going fishing. The other winner is in New Jersey, KYW's David Madden.
New Jersey's winning ticket was sold at a liquor store in Woodbine, about a 40-minute drive south of Atlantic City. 2,700 people live here. Everybody knows everybody, and rumors are already flying. But the guy who sold the winning ticket, Jim Schroeder, insists he doesn't have a clue.
Hopefully it's somebody local that needs the money, and that's what I'm looking for. Because I would say probably 70% of the tickets are purchased locally.
Jim, as owner of Cam Park Liquors, gets a 10 grand bonus from the state. His staff hopes he'll divvy that money up with them.
The general who used to run Walter Reed Medical Center was called on the carpet by members of Congress today, and Bob Dole, co-chair of the commission named by President Bush to come up with recommendations, met with the president, says Mr. Bush wants answers soon.
The president made it clear this is, you know, he was going to be personally involved in this commission. It was very important, and he thought, you know, if we came up with good recommendations, it could change the system for the next 30 years.
Guilty verdict on all counts against John Cooey for the kidnapping, sexual assault, and murder of 9-year-old Jessica Lunsford in Florida. After the verdict, Jessica's mother, Angela Bryant, talked to reporters.
The death penalty. But, you know, either way it goes, he's going to get what he deserves.
Cooey does face the possible death penalty at sentencing. Before long, the rest of the world will get the word about the Big Apple.
Start spreading the news. Armed with $45 million, that's what the New York Tourism Office is doing.
The competition for the international traveler has gotten very heated.
Start spreading the news.
Jonathan Tisch, chair of NYC and Company.
The countries and the cities that we compete with spend hundreds of millions of dollars to get that traveler to come to them, and we want them right here in New York City.
We're here from England, our first trip to New York, and we only arrived yesterday, but already we're thinking how fantastic it is everywhere.
It is no secret in the industry, international travelers stay longer and spend more. Jim Taylor, CBS News.
The Iditarod Alaskan sled dog race is a little less than halfway done. 82 teams started on Sunday in Willow, Alaska. 11 have dropped out so far. The latest coming today, a rookie musher from Ohio who says he broke his sled. More than 900 miles, and that's shorter than usual by a couple hundred miles due to lack of sufficient snow cover. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 15 points, NASDAQ off about 10.5. Oil prices, $61.82 a barrel, were up $1.13. This is CBS News.
Move and groove into your rhythm. Turn off your worries, turn on fun, because two is better than just one. Let's go out back tonight.
Let's go. Go out back tonight. Where fresh Arthur Turner is seasoned and seared. The salmon, tender. The steaks, thick and juicy. Your only worry, you might have to share.
Let's go out back tonight.
Tonight, let go.
Life is better when together.
Go out back.
Someone knowing your name is no small thing. Dedicated fraud specialists there for you if your identity is stolen. That's reassuring. Not needing direct deposit with your free checking is truly free checking. Wachovia has just been rated number one in customer satisfaction for the sixth straight year. And it's not because of one big reason, but all the little ones. Are you with Wachovia?
Rating based on fourth quarter 2006 ACSI customer satisfaction results of the largest U.S. retail banks.
Lingering questions about the Big Bopper Buddy Holly plane crash are finally being answered with new technology.
Chantilly Lane.
The Big Bopper died in that 1959 plane crash near Mason City, Iowa, that also killed Buddy Holly and Richie Valens. And just about ever since, there have been rumors that there may have been gunfire aboard the plane before it went down, or that J.P. Richardson, the Bopper, survived but died later trying to get help. Now a forensic anthropologist working for the family has gone over the remains, and he says the Big Bopper suffered massive fractures in the crash and likely died instantly. Jim Chenevy, CBS News.
A Southern Illinois man fed up with his high electric bill plans to pay it with pennies. They are coin of the realm, after all. Robert Hancock says when his bill jumped nearly 200%, he said enough. At least he'll make the power company work a little to count out $526.62. It'll cost him $50 in postage to send it. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
So you're a consultant?
Yes, sir.
What's with the wall of sticky notes?
It's my small business accounting system. Unpaid invoices go on the purple ones.
And the green?
New customers.
So unpaid bills are the yellow ones.
How'd you know?
I took a shot. You know, there's an easier way to manage your business.
Yeah?
Yeah, QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you write checks, send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't.
I'll switch. So, need a couple hundred sticky notes?
I'm going to pass on that. QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Office Max, Best Buy, or Amazon.com.
Tiger Balm presents football superstar Jerry Rice.
Foxtrot. I can't believe I'm dancing with Jerry Rice.
I can't believe dancing is as hard as playing wide receiver.
Tango.
I'm sorry.
You okay?
Yeah. How do you manage all the aches and pains?
Tiger Balm.
Really?
Tiger Balm works fast and lasts a long time.
Samba.
Whoa. Oh, sorry. I'm such a klutz.
Maybe we should stop.
No, just get me some Tiger Balm.
You sure?
Get me the Tiger Balm.
If you suffer from aches and pains, go for the balm. Tiger Balm. Now in a convenient, easy-to-apply patch. At drugstores, mass discount stores, supermarkets, and health food stores everywhere.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm delighted you're listening, whether it's on AM radio or streaming on the internet in those tiny little speakers in the back of your computer. Or maybe you download the show later on and listen to it on your iPod. However you do it, I'm delighted you're with us. And if you're listening live, you are welcome to participate. You can call in and talk to us. Yeah, it's a talk show. We pay for the call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. That's our toll-free number, good for the next 3 hours. We got a lot to talk about, but as usual, there will not be any time to discuss Anna Nicole Smith, Britney Spears, or wayward astronauts in a love triangle. On today's program, comedian-writer Richard Stockton will join us in about a half hour, together with the Swami Beyondananda. They are appearing in Santa Cruz on Friday night, asking the question, is comedy the only permissible way to tell the truth these days? Next hour, Charlie Richardson, a member of Military Families Speak Out, will get his reaction to the Bush administration's plans to appoint Donna Shalala and Bob Dole to investigate the problems at military health facilities, including Walter Reed. And a big breaking story, one of our favorite reporters, Larissa Alexandrovna. She's the managing editor for investigations at rawstory.com. And if you want to get the jump on this, you got 90 minutes to go online at rawstory.com. And read her exclusive piece identifying one of the secret sites in America's gulag. And maybe she'll explain where she was 2 weeks ago when we couldn't track her down. Perhaps she went to Poland. Also on today's program, Melanie Sloan, Executive Director of CRU, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. She is counsel to Joe Wilson and Valerie Plame Wilson in their civil suit against the Bush administration, Cheney, Libby, Rove, et al. We'll get her comments on the verdict yesterday. And also on the amazing and still incomplete story about the sacking of Republican-appointed U.S. attorneys across the country. And CRU has filed some complaints about the actions of two Republicans, Senator Pete Domenici and Congresswoman Heather Wilson,
both of New Mexico, who intervened, made some calls that former U.S. Attorney David Iglesias found problematic. We'll talk with Melanie about that, and we'll be taking lots of your phone calls, too, in the Free Speech Zone in our third and final hour. Again, my number is 888-5-PETER-B. To kick off the show today, we turn to Norman Solomon, author and media critic. His most recent book is still a relevant read, War Made Easy, How Presidents and Pundits Keep Spinning Us to Death. Norman, welcome back to the PBC show.
Thanks, Peter. You know, I was hearing you say that there's no airtime on the Peter B. program today to talk about wayward astronauts in a love triangle, but I wondered about wayward politicians in a hate triangle. What do you think?
Well, we did make an exception for the blonde bimbo and spent a half an hour on Ann Coulter yesterday.
Yes, well, she kind of spills over into the vitriolic brand of what's called politics and often is just hatchet jobs and worse.
Ah, she was just kidding, Norman. Don't you have a sense of humor?
Oh, no, I get it.
You know, Fox can help you with that with their new Sunday night right-leaning comedy show.
Is that an oxymoron? I don't know.
I think so. And I learned that they only produced two episodes of that show, so it may be self-canceling.
Well, you know, like Molly Ivan said, satire aimed at the rich and powerful can be fabulous, but when caustic pseudo-humor is aimed at those who really lack power and are under the thumb of the powerful, that's not humor. That's often just sadism and inept at that.
Yeah. Well, and it's mean. That's what really comes through if you strip away the blonde and the little black dress and all the other stuff. Ann Coulter's just downright mean.
Yeah, there's a spirit to it that is just grisly and grim, and, you know, we're really seeing the results, not to put too fine a point on it, but in Iraq, that's really the outcome of that sort of politics and media mash.
Mm-hmm. Well, and in a clip that we played the audio from the other day, we were talking with John Amato from crooksandliars.com,
mm-hmm.
and he has assigned some poor member of his staff to watch that Fox News show every Sunday night, and that's how I learned there are only two episodes. It's a bit of a relief. But in the second episode, President Limbaugh pronounces himself a perfect president and says he's going to take some time off to play golf and puts Vice President Coulter in charge. She then calls the Pentagon, and her question, which is responded to by titters of canned laughter, is there a country we haven't invaded yet? And the response is Canada. And she says, hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess somebody thinks that is funny.
Yeah.
Didn't work for me. Well, Norman, I want to turn to the Libby trial where we got a verdict yesterday, and I'm disappointed in a number of ways. I'm disappointed that Patrick Fitzgerald said this is it, that he's wrapping up the investigation and there'll be no further grand jury activities or potential indictments in this investigation into the leak and smear of the Wilsons. And I'm also disappointed, once again, in the way the media has handled this story, because it involved vulnerabilities that were on wide display of the way our media operates, the coziness that they exhibit in their treatment of the powerful. And the media really lost a notch, if not two, in public esteem in this episode.
Well, if the coverage had gone deeper, then I suppose pretty soon the media would have had to drill down farther into their own complicity in the whole process of the bogus agenda for going to war. You know, so much of the focus has been on the personalities and the trial minutiae that it's sometimes a real jolt to remember, hey, there are people dying behind all this. That's the result of this kind of complicity between media and government.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just to be really specific, I watch the Lehrer NewsHour on PBS each evening, hoping, you know, for kind of corporate-free reporting. But I was so disappointed because they turned to Victoria Tonsing as one of their commentators, and Richard Benveniste was there to apparently represent the entire left, And, you know, he's a well-intentioned, well-informed guy, but he talks legalese and really didn't cut through it. And Victoria Tonsing was permitted to reprise her hateful and, you know, really unethical op-ed piece that ran in the Washington Post while the Libby jury was beginning its deliberations, where she raised questions that were echoed by Dennis Collins, one of the jurors who spoke to the media yesterday, in that they were saying, you know, where are the other people here? And I just think it was, you know, highly irresponsible of PBS to limit the commentary. I would never suggest that they silence Victoria Tonsing. But to put her on and permit her to spin this as a he said kind of a situation. No, it was nine people said he lied, and Libby wouldn't even take the stand to defend himself. It was not a he said, she said case.
Well, we look quite often for authentic journalism where we can find it, and often the long form appears to be the better venue, you know, rather than a few sound bites stacked up inside of a 3 or 5 minute report on the evening TV network news.
Mm-hmm.
We figure, well, hey, this is going to be an 18 minute segment on the NewsHour with Jim Lehrer, but more minutes doesn't really mean necessarily more depth if the sourcing is so narrow. And often I think that's exactly what we're getting on the PBS flagship news program.
That's a very good point. And I'm kind of, well, I take it in stride, but you really hit me there, because I have, in a way, mistaken the length that they will devote to a story for depth. And it's not. They limit their coverage to corporate-approved and government-approved spokespeople, and the studies by FAIR and by Media Matters show that the guests on the NewsHour are the same old, mostly white, mostly male, mostly conservative, inside the Beltway power players.
It is really kind of an upscale version of the acculturated expectations that we get through a lot of the network talk radio and television of the O'Reilly variety, that if the decibels are high, then the diversity is wide, or that if it's loud, therefore there's a real debate going on, and often it's just loud.
Yeah, yeah. And they're soft-spoken on PBS, but
yeah, so that makes me feel like, hey, they're really being thoughtful.
Yeah, it was hard to watch that. The other part of it is that I really feel they have failed us in terms of context. As you pointed out, people are still dying behind this story. There was no effort made by the corporate media to connect Scooter Libby and the smear campaign orchestrated by the White House to the real issues of the continuing occupation of Iraq and the way we were lied to get that whole thing going.
And chronically for the media, you know, to the extent there is a sort of a reality human check on the policy and the war, it is a partial picture, which is at the end of the news hour, once in a while, there'll be the pictures of what they call the honor roll of Americans who have fallen in Iraq. Well, that's a very important part of the picture. Numerically, it's a small part of the picture compared to the Iraqis, who get really a very little ink or airtime generally.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll pick up there as we continue with Norman Solomon. If you want to weigh in with a comment on media coverage and its role in the Libby trial, we'd love to hear from you. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Today determined that Scooter Libby is a liar. Now his pants were not actually on fire, but the jury ruled that on four of the five counts, Scooter Libby had lied, committed perjury, obstructed justice. Norman Solomon's with us, media critic and author. And, Norman, the media still has failed to ask the really big questions, like, wasn't this a conspiracy on the part of members of the vice president's office, the White House Iraq group? It's pretty clear from what we now know from the trial testimony that Karl Rove did leak and smear, and the president had claimed that he would deal with anybody who was found to have leaked. The Patrick Fitzgerald explicitly has stated that Valerie Plame Wilson was a covert employee of the CIA, so the law was violated. And the media is not really raising any of the questions about its own role in this, how I believe it was used to run out the clock, to push the indictment past the 2006 midterm election, and to push the trial. To push the indictment past the 2004 and the trial itself past the 2006 election. And now they're going to run out the clock on appeals, and it should time out perfectly for a Christmas pardon in the winter of 2008.
Yeah, that looks pretty likely part of a classic pattern. I suppose it's true literally that Libby's pants weren't on fire, but at the same time, his boss, the Vice President of the United States, seems to still be coated in a a thick amount of asbestos when it comes to, I guess it's the modern version of the Reagan so-called Teflon presidency, where there's all this talk, was all this talk about how, gee, how did the president get away with the Teflon? Nothing stuck to him when the accusations, well documented, were hurled at President Reagan. Well, the press put the Teflon on President Reagan to begin with, and in a similar way, Cheney has been really protected from the kind of fire that he should be taking now from the news media. He kind of goes into his bunker, literally or otherwise. He disappears, and we're the news media demanding that he hold news conferences and answer questions.
Yeah, and he really owes us a lot of explanations about this. He had a central role. He told Libby what to do, and I am still floored that Fitzgerald is not going to pursue this any further, even, you know, just going to the exercise of naming him as an unindicted co-conspirator to make the point. And for Fitzgerald to say that he's done enough is really a disappointment to me.
Well, we've had a refrain going back to the mid-1970s, and certainly by the time Reagan was in the White House and then Iran-Contra, where pundits inside the Beltway especially like to say that the country does not want and cannot afford another failed presidency. And that's really under the surface, sometimes explicit right now. We have such a large amount of documented huge lies coming from the President and Vice President of the United States, Bush and Cheney, and yet the news media seem much more concerned about preventing a so-called failed presidency than preventing a failed democracy. And that's really what's at stake here.
And I have slammed Nancy Pelosi for quote-unquote taking impeachment off the table. To her credit, she seems to want to use congressional oversight to bring Patrick Fitzgerald to the Hill and try to open up some of these questions that you and I have been raising. Let's go to John in Carmel Valley. He's been listening to right-wing talk radio, so we don't have to. Hi, John.
I want to mention something first because your guest suddenly sparked something that Limbaugh was being very effective at today, but George Bush Sr. used to his tremendous advantage. I think it was in 88 when he was running for president against Dukakis. The press started to get on him about the Iran-Contra thing, and he practically screamed at the bunch of reporters, "Get off my back!" He was very indignant, and they did.
Well,
they did.
Now, hold on here just a second, because let me go to the cues. Darn. I only have this quote from Reagan. I have the one where he told the reporter to shut up, but it's not in my system.
I believe that if you can't say something nice about a person, you shouldn't say anything at all.
I'll try to pull that out for you later, John. What else did you want to tell us?
Well, Limbaugh was using indignation in capital letters today about John Edwards. He went into this, must have been 10 minutes of saying, "How dare you? How dare you claim that Jesus would be upset right now about us involved in Iraq and ignoring the plight of our own people?" And then he said, "You live in a 28,000 square foot big mansion complex. You're one of the fat cats. You're the last person." But the main thing was the indignation. Just fuming. Fiery, absolute. It was about as good an example of fusillade indignation as I ever saw or heard in my life. And that's his stick. That he does that, but it was about as good an example as I've ever seen. I'll bet it was very effective with his listeners.
Norman, you have a comment?
This is a problem with big pundits and blowhards who are millionaires denouncing other people for being millionaires. And it is the Edwards Carey elitist vulnerability.
And Gore.
And get out of your 28,000 square foot house. I mean, really, if you're going to raise this issue of poverty, why are you being such a glutton? I think that's something we have to deal with.
Well, that's a very good point. John, I'm out of time here.
Okay.
We could go on a little further. Thank you very much. And, Norman, I just want to direct people to your website. We didn't get to talk about Aaron Watata, but it's shameful that the Army has launched further court-martial proceedings against him. And you have a good piece up there at normansolomon.com. Thank you, Norman. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Peter.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up next, Swami Beyondananda and Richard Stockton will join us. Get ready.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay Area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund as soon as you need it. In 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, the choice is yours. The personnel at Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax return tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today, located at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to take a copy of your 2005 federal and California returns and W-2 1099 info for 2006. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today at 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
For over 30 years, I have been helping people restore their skin's natural beauty. This is Claudie Asalit of Claudie Skincare Studio in Carmel. I bring a certain je ne sais quoi as well as 3 decades of experience in top spas and salons. Claudie Skincare Studio features a selection of the finest products, and I am always training to stay at the cutting edge of skincare technology. At Claudie Skincare Studio, we specialize in healing facials, peels, Reiki, waxing, lash tinting, as well as nutritional advice to ensure your skin vibrancy and good health. To set up an appointment, call me Claudie Asalit at 625-4101. That is 625-4101. Smooth, soft, beautiful skin can be yours. Call 625-4101. A bientôt.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
This half hour, we ask the question, is comedy the only permissible way to tell the truth? And where do you find truthiness in daily life?
Not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by...
That's pre-rap, pre-hip-hop nation, Gil Scott-Heron, circa 1969. And the references are dated. The message, very contemporary. The message is that the revolution will not be televised because it's not in the interests of the corporate powers who control the media. It's as simple as that. Joining us this half hour, Richard Stockton. He's a writer, comedian based in Santa Cruz, and Swami Beyondananda. Gentlemen, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter. How you doing?
Good.
Well, good to be here and good to be there.
Swami, it's nice to have you bilocated. Thank you for sharing yourself with us today.
Well, that's right. I'm very happy to be wherever I am and wherever you are.
Well, good. And, Richard, you and the Swami have a gig Friday night in Santa Cruz at the Kumbwa Jazz Center.
Yeah, we do. We're going to rock and roll. It's going to be great. And we're going to try to present versions of the truth.
Now, how do we do this? Because there's so much lack of truth out there. And as you pointed out in an email to me a couple of weeks ago, Richard, comedy shows are giving us more honest reality than we're getting from what's called the news.
Right. I was reading an interview with Bob Newhart recently, and it's a very, very current one, and he said, our job, they were asking about being politically incorrect, and he goes, it's our job to be politically incorrect because it gives you a pattern interrupt. You can view your situation with a new perspective. And you take that a step further, and I was reading Bob Woodward's book, State of Denial, and he says that the administration has lied so often for so long, they themselves don't even know the truth. That was his idea. I mean, when you think about it, what these guys are saying, here's George W. We can't leave. We can't leave Iraq. It would be disastrous. So what do we do, Mr. President? Well, we get the Iraqis to do more. Mr. President, how do we do that? We threaten to leave. Yeah. And these electric cars, you know, the reason they ain't going to work is because we can't keep the weight down. We can't keep the weight down. So that's why we're instituting a new national liposuction program. Come on, everybody. Get behind me. Have confidence in me.
Well, we were talking about this just the other day with investigative reporter Robert Dreyfus. He put together a powerful lead article in the new issue of Mother Jones, and it's basically the Middle East for Dummies. And we suggest that a copy be placed in the Oval Office for reference because it tries to define, you know, the difference between a Sunni in Iraq and a Sunni in Saudi Arabia and how we have supported Shiites in Iraq. And now we are paying insurgent Sunnis who are essentially the friends of our enemy Al-Qaeda to oppose the people we put into power, the Shiites in Baghdad.
Wow.
And, Swami, I wonder if you could lend any kind of heavenly knowledge to help people understand this, or maybe you have mnemonic devices that you use to help you understand the distinction between, say, one Sunni from another, one Shiite from another.
Well, you know what? I think that it's very important for us to bring the conversation back here and to realize that we are not in Iraq to keep the peace. We're there to keep the pieces. And as long as we have that, as long as we understand that, then all of these other things kind of seem to fall into place.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we've tried to use the big stick, right?
Yeah.
But listen, it doesn't matter how big your stick is. If you stick your stick where it doesn't belong, you're stuck. And that's why we're stuck with the biggest stick in the world.
Wow.
Well, and the guy we're stuck with has a blood clot in his leg.
Well, you know, listen, I think that this is, you know, he is totally appropriate because if you think about it, the whole concept of vice president, there should be somebody who represents the vices.
Yeah.
And so there we have them.
Well, I wish it were women or drink or drugs, because those are the kinds of vices that would probably keep him from, you know, planning to bomb Iran or some other nefarious...
Yes, I think all three of those would probably help him.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting that we have no plans to invade Iran. Hey, they had no plans with Iraq. Okay? Yeah.
That doesn't
doesn't stop them from invading, apparently.
No, I'm not saying it doesn't stop the invasion. I'm saying they got no plans.
That's a sign that they're going to do it.
Well, one of our biggest mistakes is to try to think rationally and apply it to this gang.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of humor and the truth, I'd like to direct our listeners. Some of you are in the service area of the San Francisco Chronicle and could pick it up at a newsstand or maybe even get it delivered at home. Others, you might want to go online to sfgate.com. They have a devilish cartoonist, a guy named Don Asmussen, who does a strip called Bad Reporter. And in today's edition, I'll just read parts of it to you like I'm Fiorello LaGuardia. First panel reads, compassion clot found in Cheney's leg. If it breaks loose, it could reach his heart, GOP warns. A lucky John McCain became a jerk again after having a similar growth removed in early 2005. Then he has a close-up of the blood clot. With language here, it reads, deadly clot is made up of loving, caring, and empathy, doctors say. Next panel, Cheney operation successful. Defiant Cheney operated on at Walter Reed. They turned my frown upside down, says resting VP. To media reports of military hospitals' failures, a cocky Cheney proclaims, talk to the foot. And the final panel is Scooter in prison, a dark turn to the tale. Imprisoned Libby converts to Islam. I Lewis Al Scooter bin Libby, vows to drink America's blood.
Wow.
But, Richard,
I think he's very appropriately named because he has consistently been given the administration a good ass muffin, you know?
Thank
he's
you.
Been muffin with their ass for a long time.
Thank you, Swami.
Yeah.
You have a way with words. It is remarkable. Richard, as you look at this, you are a comic, but you're also a very serious man who had a run-in with the police in Sacramento and lived to tell the tale.
Yeah.
How do you frame stand-up comedy or the show that you're doing on Friday without getting too heavy, or don't you care about that?
I think our first job is to be funny. You know, we've got to be funny. People are coming there to laugh. People come to this particular kind of show to laugh at a certain thing, but I think we're supposed to be funny. And I think if we tell the truth, it will come out. The truth will prevail. The truth will prevail. George W. Bush, even himself, once said, I'm a uniter, not a divider. And now look what he's done. He's now got 70% of the country totally united against him.
Okay. Well, and he's united the people of Iraq against us.
Exactly. So, wow, he's a uniter.
We just didn't quite understand what he meant. Now, Swami, you and I didn't make contact, but I was about 20 feet away from you at Camp Democracy on the mall in Washington last September.
Yeah, now you're talking to the man behind the Swami. This is Steve Behrman. You were one of the 15 or 20 people who were there.
Yeah, we made a call to the entire nation to show up and... Well, it didn't work.
Well, I think part of it is because it's, you know, that was kind of an old paradigm event where you've got to go somewhere else. I think right now we need to find ways to create what of course the Swami calls the upwising and have that happen locally.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what Richard was saying about telling the truth through comedy several years ago, this is 2003, it was several months after the invasion, and Richard and I were doing a show down in Carlsbad in Southern California, which is a military community. And he had been there for several days earlier, and he called me up and he said, you know, I don't know if your political material is going to work down here. It's a fairly conservative group. And so I just decided, I just kind of sat, and yes, even the Swami meditates. I sat and just quietly and said, okay, how can I serve these people and keep my integrity and have a good time?
Mm-hmm.
And what came to me is just relax, have fun, smile, and do your thing. So I looked at the audience, kind of a mixed audience, and there were definitely, you know, some older retired military people. It was about half and half, I would imagine. And this is, you know, it's 2003, so we're deep into the war, and, you know, not everybody has figured it out at that point. And so I got out there, and I said, now, I have been asked to not do any political material, so you've been a wonderful audience. Good night. You know, and that broke the energy, and the whole place came down with that. And then in the space of that defenselessness, we were able to put our show. And a woman came up to me at halftime, and she said, I'm with a military family, and I've never heard more truth in one place than I've heard tonight.
Wow.
So what happens with comedy is that the laughter creates an opening for people to feel relaxed. And what I noticed at that show is people were surprised at how many of them were applauding because they were finding each other.
Mm-hmm. Well, what you're touching on there, Steve Swami, is that something that I believe very firmly. We talk about very important issues on this show, very serious stuff. A lot of it is kind of life or death. And at the same time, I think it's important to have a lighthearted approach when it's appropriate and to never take oneself so seriously that you're serious all the time. And I believe that properly used humor is the crowbar that can pry open a previously closed mind.
Absolutely. You know, my
well
friend
said.
Go ahead, Steve.
No, I was saying, somebody saying, amen.
It was just an amen. Go ahead, Richard.
And I was listening to, I was talking to my buddy Will Durst, and he was telling me his theory about what we actually can give people is, he goes, what you're really trying to do is get someone to laugh so hard they lose all their air. In the business, actually, it's even called a head bob. When someone goes down and they, all their air comes out of it, mm-hmm. You can listen to the comics in the back room. Oh, look at head bob. Oh, cool. And people are actually losing their air. And Will's idea is that when you lose your air, then when you breathe in again, you have a chance to let hope and a new way of looking at it come back in.
Well, it's also one of those enhanced interrogation techniques they use at Gitmo. You lose your air? Oh, waterboarding, sure.
Like that?
I thought you were saying, hey, man, there's a chance for me and the Swam to get a gig there. I didn't know.
Well, I have this vision that Bush and Cheney will get Ocean View Suites at Gitmo.
Oh, boy, wouldn't that be?
Because, after all, the Military Commissions Act that they demanded says that even a U.S. citizen could be held at Guantanamo Bay without being charged, without ever having a trial, and I can't think of two guys who deserve that more.
No, that's incredible. Our secret program has been secretly approved by a secret court.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything you don't consider a secret, Mr. Vice President? That's a secret.
All right, we're going to take a break and return. I want you to come out, especially our Central Coast listeners, and in particular those of you in the Santa Cruz area. Friday night, our guests Richard Stockton and Swami Beyondananda will be appearing at the, do we call it Kumbwa?
That's close.
Or you can call it Kumbaya.
Yeah.
Either way.
Kumbaya.
Is it Kumba? There are two U's in there.
That's
There's
right.
There's a bwa in there.
Okay. In an hour, we're going to be talking about a bunch of Polish names and cities that, well, they need to buy some vowels over there. That's all I can say.
We got them at the Kumbwa, don't we?
Kumbwa Jazz Center, 320-2 Cedar Street, Santa Cruz. Showtime is 8 p.m. Friday. You can get tickets in advance at Gateway Books for $15 or shell out a 20 at the door. And that's on Friday night. We'll continue with Richard Stockton and Swami Beyondananda right beyond this commercial break that I know you're dying to savor every second of. Stay tuned for more right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Billy Sunshine Show.
Billy Sunshine Show.
With P-Lar. With P-Lar.
Sunday at 3 o'clock, we're going to be doing something new, something different. Or we'll do the same old thing. Take your phone calls. One thing we know for sure, I'll have something to say. What? I don't know. I never know until I've said it. Find out what's the next thing to come out of my mouth.
The Billy Sunshine Show with P-Lar.
Sundays from 3 to 5.
3 to 5. On AM 540. KRXA.
You got cooking. How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, Dinner's Ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. My guests are Richard Stockton and Swami Beyondananda. They are appearing Friday night in Santa Cruz at the Kuumbwa Jazz Center, 320-2 Cedar Street. And you can get tickets at Gateway Books or just show up and be sure you visited your ATM so you have a $20 bill. And that'll get you into the gig. Swami, I was just at your website here, and I clicked on a link that I thought was just going to have you flying on a magic carpet. But I guess it's a whole video clip of one of your performances.
Yes. It's called Total Eclipse. No, it's from a DVD called Tickling the Body Politic.
Uh-huh. And
that's what we need to do in these times. You know, people say, well, how can you apply comedy to such serious things? And let's face it, everybody is beginning to realize there's something funny going on.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Even the arch neocons have figured that out.
They have?
Yeah, but nobody told Ann Coulter yet.
Well, you know, actually, I was thinking about this just the other day, that if Jesus was walking the planet right now, Ann Coulter would throw the F word at him. I mean, what is this about meek inheriting the earth and loving thy neighbor and all of that stuff? You know, he'd be a prime candidate for her.
I think you're right.
I'm starting to call her Access Sally, or maybe we should call her Tokyo Rose.
That's not bad.
Yes, because these are really, I called it impropaganda.
Well, I kind of just think of her as a hate-mongering, demagogic bimbo.
That would be another way to put it.
Richard?
Peter, are you saying that the Republicans are even rejecting her and the neocons? Is that more what your idea is? Because I was thinking about what you said about how George and Dick might have a room at Gitmo down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And, very recently, Mr. O.J. Simpson tried to publish a book, How I Would Have Killed My Wife.
Right. Well, yeah, we call that the hypothetical memoir.
Yeah, well, maybe there might be one in it for George W., How I Would Have Killed the Republican Party. Maybe. I'm saying there's an opportunity for the boy. That's all I'm saying.
Well, call Judith Regan with that, will you?
I think the Republicans, they are beginning to get a little concerned. They're afraid that maybe the party of Ford and Lincoln will end up like the Edsel.
Yeah.
So, Richard and Swami, why don't you, I don't want you to steal your own thunder by using the material, but give us a little sketchy outline of what you plan to cover in the appearance on Friday entitled, Is Comedy the Only Permissible Way to Tell the Truth? Richard first.
Me first. Well, I'm all about fear and stress and how to turn that into power. And so in this case...
Well, you wrote the book, Fondle the Fear.
I wrote the book, Fondle the Fear.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And I just think there's always a way. What I want to give the folks is a way to look at it again so we can stop having these two guys, there are many guys in Washington hurting us, and move forward. And I was thinking about, no matter, and that's what we want to do through comedy and reframe this thing. Just a note there, I know we have a Massachusetts governor, Mitt Romney, it's the Republicans are getting kind of excited about him. We've got a Mormon running on the Christian of the Latter-day Saints right. And I was thinking about this, kind of was a little concerned. Ooh, I don't know about Mormonism, you know, in there. That would be kind of wild. And then on the other hand, I have a friend, one of my best friends, who was raised strict Mormon. But he's rejected the whole thing. He's rejected it all. He smokes cigarettes. He drinks coffee. He's got one wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a wild man.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know. Maybe what I'm just saying is we're going to look at it and look at our vision for the future.
Nice.
Swami talks about television, and I think that's a brilliant, brilliant wordplay he does. And that's what we're looking for. So that's what I hope to bring to this.
All right. So Richard's going to fondle the fear and the fear up. And Swami, what's your agenda for Friday night?
I'm going to move the uprising forward because, you know, my website's called Wake Up Laughing. And those are my two very important criteria because we need to wake up. You know, we've slept through several alarms. And we need to wise up, and that's good. And so what I will be talking about is waking up and wising up. We'll be tickling everybody's funny bone to make sure there's plenty of laughter because, you know, one of the key reasons the world is in serious shape is because of all of the seriousness. And, you know, there's people out there suffering from humoroids. And that, of course, is an enlargement of the onus, where the only thing you're ever able to pass is heavy judgments. No. So we released that, and we talk about a new non-religion, which I've started, called fundamentalism, accent on the fun. Not to be confused with those who put the accent on the mental, if you know what I mean.
Indeed.
And so we kind of move through all of that, and, of course, I will be taking questions from the audience. And so anybody in the audience who has an answerable question, I will give them a questionable answer.
All right. See if you can identify this voice.
Come on. Lighten up out there.
Oh, that's all you're going to give us, huh?
That's all you get, right.
Can you play it again?
Yeah, I can.
Come on. Lighten up out there.
Oh, it sounds, that sounds like, isn't it that poor Australian guy who got eaten by an alligator?
No, Richard, you want to take a stab at it?
Let me hear it one more time.
Come on, lighten up out there.
Scooter Libby.
Nope, Bush 41.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Poppy Bush.
Yeah.
It was back in the campaign of 92 when everybody was figuring him out, and he just squirmed and said, oh, come on, lighten up out there.
Wow.
Are you sure? I think he was doing a Dana Carvey impression.
That was.
That's what it was, yeah.
Hey, Swan, we ought to get him to work on our shows. I think that'd be great, you and me and George H.,
Well, that would be great. Well,
I think Dana Carvey.
Hand in the bush is worth two in the bird, so there you go.
Yeah.
Dana Carvey would be more fun, and he's retired in Mill Valley, so you ought to ring him up and see if he'll drop by and give you a little church lady.
Well, he shows up every now and then.
He does.
Well, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the Throckmorton.
Yes, and if you've ever had your Morton throck, you know how painful that could be.
Peter, can you imagine what it's like to hang out with this guy?
It's a punster's hell. That's what it is. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Richard Stockton and Swami Beyondananda appearing in Santa Cruz this Friday night. Be there at the Kuumbwa Jazz Center, 320-2 Cedar Street. I don't know what's at 320-1, but you go there and tell me, okay?
Hey, thanks, Peter.
Thank you both.
Good night.
All right, bye-bye. Coming up next, Charlie Richardson and his wife, Nancy, members of Military Families Speak Out. We'll do some speaking out here on the Peter B. Collins Show, and then Larissa's exclusive next hour, too.
One Day Income Tax Service, family-owned and operated since 1944, specializes in year-round professional tax preparation. Do you want your refund quickly? Stop by One Day Income Tax Service. They offer tax preparation at reasonable rates and work to meet the needs of military families with the capacity to process all out-of-state returns. If you prefer to prepare your own return at home, they can help you expedite your refund by filing your return electronically. Let One Day Income Tax Service assist you with your return and maximize your refund. Stop by 885 Broadway Avenue in Seaside, where no appointment is necessary. Looking for quick, professional, and reasonable tax return preparation? Visit One Day Income Tax Service, 885 Broadway Avenue, Seaside, or call 394-8010. That's 831-394-8010. One Day Income Tax Service, where you walk in with a copy of your most recent tax return, personal ID, and W-2 1099 info for 2006, and you walk out with your completed tax return.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Mega Millions changes a truck driver's life.
I'm going fish.
Okay.
A verdict in the Jessica Lunsford case.
The defendant is guilty of murder in the first degree.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. When everything was added up, the record Mega Millions lottery jackpot came to $390 million. There are two winning tickets, one sold in Georgia and one in New Jersey. The Georgia winner came forward this afternoon. 52-year-old Ed Neighbors is a truck driver who didn't check the numbers till he got to work this morning.
I just went numb. I went wait for my arm. You know, I just sat there and looked at both the paper and the ticket. You know, and I sat there, I know, for probably 15 or 20 minutes, and the computer in the truck beeped, and then I think it was my dispatcher wanting to know why I was sitting still so long.
Neighbors needs to sit still a while longer. At the news conference, reporters asked about his immediate plans.
I'm going to sit down for a while.
Even after taxes, his share of the big jackpot comes to more than $80 million. No word yet on the winner or winners in New Jersey. Now this.
So you're a consultant?
Yes, sir.
What's with the wall of sticky notes?
It's my small business accounting system. Unpaid invoices go on the purple ones.
And the green?
New customers.
So unpaid bills are the yellow ones.
How'd you know?
I took a shot. You know, there's an easier way to manage your business.
Yeah?
Yeah, QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes with just a few clicks. QuickBooks software lets you write checks, send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't.
I'll switch. So, need a couple hundred sticky notes?
I'm going to pass on that. QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Office Max, Best Buy, or Amazon.com.
I was in a car accident the other day. Nothing major, but enough to ruin my day. Well, I'm a Progressive customer, and they have these claim service centers where you just drive in, sign a couple forms, and drive away in a rental until your car's fixed. Couldn't be easier. They even guarantee the repairs for as long as you have your car. And the first thing they asked me was, are you all right? The first thing my buddies asked was, how's the car?
Get more for your money at Progressive.com. Progressive. It's about you, and it's about time.
Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in over 50 locations nationally. Prices vary based on how you buy.
A jury in Miami has found sex offender John Cooey guilty in the kidnapping, rape, and murder of 9-year-old Jessica Lunsford. She was abducted from her bedroom 2 years ago and buried alive, wrapped in plastic garbage bags. Outside court, reporters asked Jessica's mother, Angela Bryant, what punishment Cooey should get.
The death penalty. But, you know, either way it goes, he's going to get what he deserves.
The jury will decide between death or life in prison. Last month in Parrish, Florida, a 13-year-old boy was abducted from his school bus stop and left tied in the woods 20 miles away. Clay Moore managed to free himself. He's okay. Today, a 22-year-old suspect surrendered along the U.S.-Mexican border in Texas. Connie Schingeldecker of the Manatee County Sheriff's Office says extradition proceedings are underway and they're confident Vicente Ignacio Beltran Moreno will return to face the charges.
He has family here. He has two small children. He has a girlfriend. And I think that the prisons in the United States are probably in a lot better condition than the prisons in Mexico.
From Orlando, CBS News correspondent Peter King reports Lisa Nowak is no longer an astronaut.
The space agency says it's not allowed to deal with the criminal charges against Nowak.
Captain Nowak is an active duty naval officer. She's not a NASA civil servant.
So spokesman Bob Jacobs says she's been returned to the Navy just 2 days after the release of court documents, including some steamy emails that may have triggered her trip here to confront a romantic rival. Jacobs says the timing had nothing to do with the release.
We were coming up at the end of her requested 30-day leave and needed to come to a decision as to what are the next steps.
Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
President Bush met today with former Senator Bob Dole and former Health Secretary Donna Shalala, who lead the investigation of patient care at military and veterans hospitals.
We're going to do the best we can to make certain that those young men and women who serve are properly cared for when they come home and then properly transitioned after their care is complete.
On Capitol Hill, CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss covered a third day of hearings.
Members of the House committee in charge of the Pentagon's budget were not in a forgiving mood as Army generals came to again apologize for conditions at Walter Reed. Republican Bill Young reminded General Kevin Kiley that Young's wife, who visits wounded soldiers, had brought several instances to his attention, including that of a soldier with a head wound in intensive care falling out of his bed 3 times.
Any answer?
No, sir. Totally unacceptable. Way below the standard.
But General, you were told about it twice.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I failed to get that thing right.
Ohio Republican David Hobson says Kiley failed to get a lot of things right.
You're the only one still left standing after all the people are gone. You got an angel somewhere, sir.
Kiley, who ran Walter Reed for several years, is now in charge of all Army hospitals. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Fresh Ahi Tuna is seasoned and seared. The salmon, tender. The steaks, thick and juicy. Your only worry, you might have to share.
Let's go out back tonight.
Tonight, let go.
Life is better when together.
Go out back.
Someone knowing your name is no small thing. Dedicated fraud specialists there for you if your identity is stolen. That's reassuring. Not needing direct deposit with your free checking is truly free checking. Wachovia has just been rated number one in customer satisfaction for the 6th straight year. And it's not because of one big reason, but all the little ones. Are you with Wachovia?
Rating based on 4th quarter 2006 ACSI customer satisfaction results of the largest U.S. retail banks.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Those who start wars, never fight them.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show.
Those who fight wars, I never like them.
Coming up later this hour, breaking news from our correspondent Larissa Alexandrovna. She's identified, along with a co-author, one of the clandestine sites, part of Gulag USA. And it's a murky location in northern Poland. We'll tell you about that later this hour.
We live and die them. But I know they're never gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, it's time. It's time to go home.
Joining us now is one of the co-founders of Military Families Speak Out. Charlie Richardson's son, Joe, is a Marine who fortunately is back from Iraq. And Charlie's one of the co-founders of Military Families Speak Out. Charlie, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I commend you for the service you're providing to the nation at this very difficult time, at some sacrifice to yourself and your own interests. And so I very much appreciate what you've been doing. Just on a personal note, tell us about Joe, and did he come back 100% healthy?
Well, I think nobody comes back 100% healthy from a war. We're very lucky Joe was not physically damaged at all. I think all our troops come back with the psychological wounds of war and have to deal with it. This is one of the biggest things that we see as our families' loved ones return, is the post-traumatic stress disorder that is living with them and will continue to live with them for, we're afraid, a long time to come.
Yeah. Well, and on the one hand, the scandal regarding Walter Reed has moved from mice and mold to more substantive issues about patient care, continuity of care, and the level of readiness the military healthcare system has for the types of injuries being experienced by returning vets from Iraq and, to some extent, Afghanistan. And it's a shame. And I believe that what we're seeing are PR techniques, crisis management techniques on the part of the White House. Yesterday, the president appointed Bob Dole, who was a wounded World War II vet who spent a lot of time in military hospitals back in that era, went on to become Senate Majority Leader and the Republican candidate for president in 96, together with Donna Shalala, who served 8 years as Bill Clinton's head of Health and Human Services. I don't have a great deal of confidence that whatever they do, whether it's properly funded and they actually can get to the decision makers, I have the idea they're going to write a report, hold a news conference, and it will all be forgotten the next day.
Well, you know, the problems with the care of returning vets have not been a secret. They've been out there. There have been complaints. There have been stories about this since the very beginning. So this sort of... Now we've realized that there's a problem, just doesn't ring true with us. We've known all along there was a problem, and they should have known all along that there's a problem. The fact is, again, all our troops are returning damaged, or a large number of troops are returning damaged. It's bad enough that they're not getting the physical care that they need, but on top of that, the psychological and mental support that they need, the transition support that they need to move back into regular society. These are all things that are not being provided. The Bush administration talks about supporting the troops and, in fact, attacks those of us who oppose the war, saying we're not supporting the troops, and yet what's really clear is they're the ones that are not supporting the troops by not taking care of them when they return, but more importantly, by sending them off to a war that never should have been started in the first place.
Yeah. And fundamentally, the military health care system is underfunded. And if they had more dollars, they could at least attempt to provide the care that is required. That's one issue. The other is that part and parcel of the lack of preparation, the lack of research, the lack of planning for the invasion and occupation of Iraq, it's clear that the Pentagon under Rumsfeld made woefully inadequate preparations for the returning wounded from this conflict.
Well, I think one of the things that the administration has done from the very beginning is to try and hide the cost of this war from the American people. They fly the bodies into Dover Air Force Base under the cover of darkness with no cameras, no media there. They have warehoused soldiers who are injured on bases to keep them out of the public eye. And in fact, they've limited the direct impact of the war by using and reusing, and we would say abusing, those troops who have volunteered to protect their country, sending them over for third, fourth, and even fifth deployments to this war that never should have started.
I would just add to that the exploitation of Reserve and National Guard units who never expected to be deployed for repeated rotations in a war zone.
Yes, they never expected to be deployed once in a war zone unless that war were actually threatening this country, and instead they have been deployed on multiple deployments. Again, trying to limit the impact, the direct impact on the American people, so that politically they could continue this war. If the American people knew the true cost that this war is having, both on the troops themselves and financially, the burden that this is going to place on this nation for the rest of their lives as we take care, as we try and struggle to take care of these returning troops. If they understood the true human and financial cost of this war, there would be even more opposition to the war than there is now.
We're talking with Charlie Richardson, co-founder of Military Families Speak Out. I believe your website is mfso.org.
That's right. It's www.mfso.org, and we invite all military families who are opposed to the war to contact us, to get in touch with us. You're not alone out there. It may seem like you are sometimes, but you're not alone. There, we are now over 3,300 military families in every state across this country who are speaking out against the war.
And if you'd like to contact Charlie right now, you can call into the program toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, Charlie, a number of issues have been raised. I give the Washington Post credit for belatedly covering this story in depth. Salon.com deserves a lot of credit for the original Enterprise reporting on these issues. That aside, there is much more to the story than just a few members of the military brass being fired or reassigned and a report being written by Dole and Shalala. There are serious problems in the continuity of care for veterans who are treated for serious injuries in the military hospital system and then transferred out to the VA. I have heard absolute horror stories, some that came from the Washington Post series, about individual cases that are bungled in ways that are shameful and, frankly, un-American.
Yeah, I think that there are many reasons behind this. I think a couple key ones are that the VA was not set up, or certainly was not resourced at a level to deal with the number of troops who are now entering into that system. The military medical system and the VA system are just not prepared to handle this level of wounded and psychologically wounded troops coming through, and the administration, once again, hiding behind their support the troops rhetoric, has not provided the resources that are needed to either of these institutions to take care of the troops. Mm-hmm. They're not supporting the troops. They're, in fact, hiding from the troops and hiding the damage that's being done to the troops. And because of that, the troops are not getting the care that they need. The number of stories we could tell about troops who have returned with severe post-traumatic stress disorder and are not being given psychological care, and in fact we have suicides that we know of that are a result of lack of care, lack of attention to the needs of these troops.
Yeah, it's really critical. Charlie, we're going to take a quick break and return. I want to talk next about some of the strategies to push the Congress into action to curtail the president's adventurism and bring our troops home from Iraq.
Great.
We're talking with Charlie Richardson, co-founder of Military Families Speak Out. Again, their website, MFSO. That's Marie, Frank, Steve, Orleans. I should memorize those things. .org. That's their website. More in a moment, and you can call in toll-free 888-5-PETER-B. It's 16 minutes after the hour, and this is the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security, investment, white picket fences. Did you know that real estate is the single most sought after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Chicken Hawk from Roy Zimmerman and his recent CD. We continue now with Charlie Richardson, co-founder of Military Families Speak Out. Again, their website, mfso.org, if you'd like to connect with them. And, Charlie, I know my level of frustration, and I just can imagine that yours must be even greater. because the Democrats have had about 60 days now of the new majorities. And I do acknowledge that the Senate majority is very slim and is pivoting on the whim of Joe Lieberman, which is very frightening in many respects. But I'm disappointed that the Democrats have not come up with a consensus position to rein in the president, signal that the end is near, and force his hand to bring the troops home from Iraq.
Well, so are we. The American people in November clearly expressed their discomfort with their lack of support for the war in Iraq. The Democrats won the election based on the war, but they didn't run based on the war. And unfortunately, continuing to be timid rather than to be strong at a time we need leadership, they're continuing not to show that leadership. The House and the Senate have the chance right now to end this war, to deny the president the funds that he is asking to continue the war. That's really the one power that Congress has under the Constitution, is the power to say, we're not paying for this war, we're not going to let you continue this war. The president's asked for about $93 billion more to continue this war this fiscal year. And if the House voted, doesn't matter about the Senate, if one House of Congress voted by 50% plus one not to fund the war, then the funding would come to an end. We'd like to see leadership on the part of the Democrats. What we're afraid of is that the lesson that they learned from the November election was that on a war going badly is a winning strategy for the Democrats in an election, and they've started to turn their eyes to 2008 rather than turn their eyes to the three U.S. troops and countless Iraqis who are dying every day over there.
Yeah. Charlie, my dad taught me that no one can intimidate me without my consent. And somehow the Democrats haven't gotten that message, because they continue to permit themselves to be intimidated by the threat of being considered disloyal to the troops or cut and runners, one of those epithets that come from the right in their empty defense of a defenseless policy.
Peter, I think you're absolutely right. We continue to hear from Democrats and Republicans alike, we will never vote to defund the troops.
Yeah.
Well, President Bush is not asking for $93 billion for the troops. He's asking for $93 billion for the war. He's asking for $93 billion to keep those troops in harm's way in a war that never should have been started. Voting that money, giving the president $93 billion more dollars, is abandoning the troops. It's abandoning them in Iraq where they shouldn't be.
Yeah. Very well said. And the other side of this is that by you and George Lakoff, University of California at Berkeley, has been brilliant in helping Democrats identify some of their weaknesses in language, framing, and rhetoric. But doggone it, the Democrats keep using the language and framing of the administration when they say, we won't cut off funds for the troops. We will never do that. Well, that's, as you just pointed out, that's not the issue. And Congressman Kucinich has carefully crafted a plan that identifies the dollars that are already committed to Iraq and that they are sufficient to wind up our presence there and bring the troops home. We don't have to have Democrats face this specter of, you know, voting, quote unquote, against the troops. That's a mistaken notion.
Absolutely. And again, I agree, as long as they accept that frame, they can't win. It's back to the old, have you stopped beating your wife question. If you accept the question, there's no way to answer it. The Democrats, what they need to do, what they would do if they wanted to show leadership, is they would stand up, all of them, and say, defunding the war is not defunding the troops. In fact, it's the best thing we can do for the troops. We're going to take that $93 billion you asked for, President Bush, and we're going to commit it to psychological services. We're going to commit it to fixing Walter Reed Army Medical Center and all the medical centers across the country, to fixing the VA and making sure that when we bring the troops home, and we're going to bring them home with the money that's already been appropriated, when we bring those troops home, they're going to get the care that they deserve, because they've been sent off to a war that they shouldn't have been, that they didn't deserve to get sent off to.
Charlie, what do you recommend to our listeners? Who should they be lobbying, and what message do you think would be most effective?
We think right now there's one message and one message alone, and that is we want Congress to vote to defund the war. Congress is going to have the opportunity in the next 2 or 3 weeks to vote on this supplemental appropriations request. It's relatively simple, frankly. If you fund the war, it's your war. If you fund the war, you can't say, I'm against the war, but here's another $93 billion to continue the war. Now is the time to take a stand. Now is the time that it's important to take a stand because, as I said before, if either House of Congress votes with 50% plus one to deny this funding, then they don't have the funding. Every other plan that's been put forward around forcing the president to end the war, the resolutions, the withdrawing of the resolution that gave him the right to go to war,
mm-hmm.
all of these bills would have to get passed by both houses of Congress and by a veto-proof majority in both houses of Congress, which would obviously be difficult to achieve at this point.
Yeah.
But the funding appropriations can be turned down by one house. Therefore, what we would say is people should be getting in touch with their member of Congress.
Very good. Charlie.
Saying to their member of Congress, defund the war.
Charlie, I'm out of time. Thank you for your advocacy. Go to mfso.org to find out more. Larissa joins us next with an exclusive on the PBC show.
live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Still to come today on the Peter B. Collins Show, Melanie Sloan returns. She's Executive Director of CRU, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. They are counsel to Joe and Valerie Wilson in the civil suit that they are pursuing against Libby, Roe, Cheney, and the gang. We'll get an update on that and the U.S. attorney story, too. But first, one of our regular contributors, Larissa Alexandrovna, has a powerful exclusive today. Midnight Oil and politically infused rock and roll called My Country, Right or Wrong. And I think my country's in the wrong in a lot of ways. The Military Commissions Act ratified torture as a technique embraced by the United States. And since September 11th, the Bush administration has used a number of clandestine tactics, including what they call extraordinary rendition. And for a time, they had a series of detention sites, black sites, in other parts of the world and at Guantanamo Bay, that's the one we know about, and also at the Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan. And I believe it was in the spring of 2004 that the Washington Post reported the existence of a number of these so-called black sites without identifying their locations or the governments who had permitted them to be located or activated there. We're learning more about this story now from Larissa Alexandrovna. She's the managing investigative editor at rawstory.com. Larissa, great to have you on. And now we, at least I can speculate about where you were a couple of weeks ago.
You can, yeah. Yeah, no, that's precisely right. I was working on this.
So you went to Poland in February?
I'm not saying where I went or...
Was it cold and what did they serve?
Yeah, I just prefer to kind of focus on the story because I think it's more important what's in the story than how, you know, I went about getting the story.
All right, I detect your reticence and I won't pursue that. Why don't you thumbnail the story for us? You and your co-author, David Dastich?
Dastich.
Have uncovered a location where you believe the U.S. was rendering detainees for interrogation and perhaps torture.
Right, exactly. The Washington Post article you pointed out was in 2005 in November.
Okay.
And they had agreed not to identify any of the facilities or even the countries of these alleged prisons, the secret network of prisons. The European Union basically went insane and started investigating. But basically, it was finally identified that Poland, it was definitely one of the countries.
Mm-hmm.
And people began looking for these prisons. The problem was they were looking for a standalone building that would be designated a prison in some capacity, when in fact what appears to be going on is we've identified a site and we've had it confirmed now that an intelligence training facility outside of the village of Stare Kichkudi. Forgive me if I've butchered that.
Well, you're doing better than I ever will. And by the way, I called Pat Sajak and asked to buy a few vowels to help us through this today.
And basically what appears to be going on is that the black sites aren't standalone prisons. Rather, they are zones within a building that is perhaps a building for a whole other purpose. So mm-hmm. you might have a government building or, I don't know, a bank or whatnot. And it's not a black site until somebody is using the facility, and they could be using a room or a floor to hold and interrogate detainees for a short-term period of time. And then they just move them to another similar facility. So it's, as John Pike of Global Security, who's cited in my article, said, it's a shell game. And that's basically what we found, and I think it is probably going to help at least identify the other facilities if people understand that they are short-term, interim facilities and not standalone prison-like designated building.
Well, and as I hear you describing that and having read your article, what I take from it is that they were very conscious of building in deniability at every step of the actions they took.
Right, and that's precisely it. You're precisely right. I mean, that's certainly what people have said, the people we've talked to, what they've said. They were conscious of that because this does give the government's plausible deniability. When they say we don't have prisons, they don't. When they say, we're not involved in torture, technically they're not.
It's outsourced, subcontracted.
Exactly. But here's the problem, aside from the obvious, is that you have three governments. In my article, we're talking about three governments. We're talking about the U.S., Britain, and Poland. Three governments in which a handful of individuals in each country agreed to lie to to the rest of the government. And they decided, this group of individuals in the United States and in Britain and in Poland, and it's a very small group, basically agreed to violate international treaties, international law, domestic law, and do it without even informing their own government.
Mm-hmm.
That's very frightening. These countries, well, not just for us, certainly, but in Britain, for example, I mean, all three countries are democratic countries, supposedly. They're all signatories onto the conventions against torture. They're all signatories onto various treaties and other conventions like the Geneva Conventions. And yet you have anti-democratic, illegal goings-on controlled by a very small group of people. So aside from the obvious issue here, and that is the human rights question, you've got this issue of power, of an incredible amount of power, and to undertake these things and to also keep this information from the rest of the government.
Well, and when we put this into context, it was in the December of 2005 that newly minted Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice scheduled a last-minute trip to Europe. And at each stop, she denied that the U.S. tortures. She denied the allegations of these black sites. And she even denied most of the issues related to extraordinary rendition.
Sure.
And unfortunately for her, at almost every stop on what I called the Torture Palooza tour, there were people popping up who had inconvenient truths. And one of them is Khalid El-Masri,
right,
who was back in the news last week. He's the German citizen who was taken captive in Macedonia. He was flown to Bagram. He has detailed account of the torture techniques that were used against him. And it's clear now that this was simply a case of mistaken identity, because there's another guy named Khalid El-Masri who replaced al-Zarqawi as one of the top dogs for al-Qaeda in Iraq.
Sure. I mean, and the same thing happened in Italy. The same thing happened with a Canadian citizen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, this is what the concern is to the career people I talk to at the various intelligence career people who have said, look, it's... let's not be babies. We've done this thing before, very limited, kind of on-the-spot decision when you've got someone you believe is a high-value suspect. But we've never had this kind of policy towards using this as, you know, the first course of action, or, you know, to this extent and this many governments involved. And the other thing that really concerns people and certainly concerns me is that you've got a lot of information coming out from people who have been released about, pardon me, being held in countries that are known to torture, like Uzbekistan.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't hear anything about the Eastern European countries. I've yet to hear anybody say, I was in Poland, or I was in Romania, I was in Portugal. And that worries me, because where where are these people?
Right. Well, from what I've been able to piece together, and this is certainly not conclusive, it's partial, some of those people were gathered at Guantanamo this past September.
But that's only 14.
That's what they tell us.
Right, that's true. But well, we're also under the assumption that those 14 are actually at Guantanamo.
Right, right.
But let's remember that the CIA acknowledged having a little over 100 high-value suspects to begin with.
Right.
Some, you know, stashed away.
Mm-hmm.
And in places like Uzbekistan and Libya and whatnot, you know, those are standalone kind of prison facilities. But still, you don't hear anything about Eastern Europe.
Right.
And something's very wrong. I mean, unless these people never knew where they were at any given time.
Well, there's a darker potential explanation.
I know, but I don't want to go there.
Okay, but just so we're not being elliptical, what I'm referring to is that they may have been killed.
Well, I don't even think may have been. I think you're probably right. Remember, I did an article a while back about a CENTCOM document that was leaked to me that showed the breakdown of detainees in Iraq and Afghanistan, and at that time, there were roughly 70,000 people.
70,000?
Yes, and these weren't in black sites. These were in Abu Ghraib and mm-hmm. acknowledged facilities, Camp Cropper, Camp Ashraf. You know, these were acknowledged facilities. These weren't black sites. But if we were holding in non-black sites, 70,000 people. I shudder to think what the number is of people we haven't accounted for.
Yeah.
You know, and this is the problem, because even as this is coming out, everyone is worried about the political fallout. Nobody seems to be interested in where are these people? Who are these people? What's happened to them? You know. And that frightens me, certainly, being from the former Soviet Union. This is rather ironic.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Larissa, tell us about the proximity of the Zemani Airport, if I've said that correctly, and the location that you believe is where some of these people were held in a short-term black site.
They're about maybe 12 miles from one another.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was, this is how the airport basically became suspect because of the activities there, and the locals began talking, and they kept reporting that there was this traffic to and from the intelligence facility being used for short-term interrogation at Kichkuti,
mm-hmm.
and the airport. And
the airport was built by the Soviets and has a very long runway.
Well, and the facility during the Soviets, it was the only intelligence facility outside of the Soviet Union. It mm-hmm. was also used by the Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
So, we've joined a very elite group here, it looks like.
With a colorful legacy. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, it's really, we're spreading democracy in a way that's very Kafka-esque.
Let's take a break here, Larissa. We'll pick up there in just a moment. Larissa Alexandrovna breaking a major story at rawstory.com today. You got to read it for yourself. U.S. and Britain asked Poland to join in this clandestine program, what we believe are temporary black sites where detainees were held as part of the American Gulag. If you have a question or comment, bring it on now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. Promise not to torture or waterboard you. 888-573-8372. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Yeah. Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
The days of wine and roses.
The fastest growing disease in America is addiction. It's time we talk about it openly. This is Sheila Gale. Join me Saturday afternoons from 4 to 5 for 12-Step Talk Uncensored, where we deal with addiction. It's about time.
That wasn't there before.
And there we go, folks. All right, we're going to tell you about a crash. Southbound 101 at East Martin Avenue. Well, that's in the Hollister area. We do have reports of a big rig and another vehicle involved in this particular accident. And not a lot of details this time. CHP on the way to the scene, along with, of course, tow trucks. So just be advised about that particular problem. Also want to mention Highway 1 at Pajaro in Monterey. Getting reports of a stalled vehicle there. This is a white sedan, and it's partially blocking the right lane, so that's certainly not good news there. And we also want to mention that Highway 17, we had an earlier stall southbound at the summit, but it looks like they've been pushing that off of the roadway. No other major stalls or crashes to report. This report brought to you by Charles Schwab.
Talking about America's secret gulag in Europe and other parts of the world. Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com has done some powerful reporting here and brought us new information about a complex in northern Poland at a place called Stary Kiejkuty. It's K-I-E-J-K-U-T-Y, and that's a Soviet-era compound, and that's near an airport that we were just describing with the long runway. And I was intrigued in your story and in your comments a moment ago, Larissa, that it was locals who noticed the activity of the black-windowed SUVs traipsing from the airport to this compound that initially raised some eyebrows. And I'm curious if plane spotters played a role in exposing this particular site, because two different sources for plane spotting have really impressed me. Two young reporters published a book called Torture Taxi, where using the data provided by amateur plane watchers around the world, they were able to piece together the itineraries of some of these rendition flights conducted by the American government, including the tail numbers of specific planes that have been used. And then recently, Chalmers Johnson, who has a trilogy of books about blowback, and the most recent one is called Nemesis, he's an amateur plane spotter, and he too credits that group, that network of people, with helping bring some of this information to light.
No, I think it's quite possible. I don't know of any with regard to this story and the airport there, because there you actually had airport employees coming forward and saying, we're getting four times the amount in cash. These flights are being treated as military flights. You know, something's terribly wrong here.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you describe scenes where people are not subjected to routine customs checks or even identification checks.
Right.
And some other variances and vagaries to normal policy.
Well, right. I mean, like paying in cash, sometimes four times the amount that the airport normally charges. You know, that certainly raised red flags for people. But the Polish government didn't do anything, and they're still stonewalling the investigators at the EU to the point, you know, of absurdity, because there's a great deal already known. I mean, yeah, you can't run away from the fact that, you know, even if you don't accept the use of the facility, the airport has now been acknowledged by, you know, at least a couple of the board members of the that sat on the board overseeing the airport, that yes, this is, you know, we did use it for, you know, government and international, you know, intelligence kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, to sit quietly and not to say a word is, you know, absurd.
Well, and you cite Jersey Coast, who is the man you just referenced, who's on the chairman of the airport authority there, mm-hmm. and also a Polish public TV journalist, Adam Krzyzkowski.
Right.
He alleged, Krzyzkowski, that the September 2003 Boeing 737 carried a crew of seven and was joined at the Zemany airfield by five passengers who declared themselves businessmen.
Right.
According to the EU report, Krzyzkowski maintained that all 12 were American citizens. Now, this is
should raise other flags, if you remember Iran-Contra.
Yes, a neat idea, said Ollie North.
Right. Because if you have a secret network of pick-up and drop-off points, then you can accomplish a number of things.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of questions here.
Well, and I want to share your article with some of my plane spotter contacts, because there is a 737 on the cover of this book, Torture Taxi, mm-hmm. with the tail number N313P.
Right.
And that tail number has been changed twice since
right.
it was identified as a torture taxi, one of the rendition airplanes.
Right.
And so it would be very interesting to see if the, you know, 737 referenced in your article is this very same plane.
It's possible. It's possible. The problem is I couldn't get as much into the article as I wanted to. There were concerns domestically, so...
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did my best to get as much out as I could. But there is a book out that actually lists every single plane that they were able to get from each airport suspected and do a comparison, and that's called Ghost Plane.
Mm-hmm.
Right now I can't think of the author off the top of my head.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, it's fantastic. That's mm-hmm. the one. You're going to read any book on this entire situation, I would read Ghost Plane.
Mm-hmm.
It's brilliant. But I'll tell you what's fascinating to me in all of this, as I'm running around chasing this story, trying to understand what in God's name is going on. I find that journalists across the board, and the Washington Post, ABC News, were told specifically not to mention two countries, Poland and Romania.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that whenever if I talked about Italy, Germany, Portugal, any country I mentioned, was, you know, people would talk to me. If I said Poland, that was it. They would not talk to me. I never heard from them again. It was absolutely surreal. And you have to then wonder if the missile defense contract that Poland suddenly landed has something to do with this.
Oh,
right? I mean,
very interesting, yeah.
Because this is all very strange. You have to admit, even for, you know, for Spooksville, where, you know, I've said before, it's like being in the Twilight Zone when you're
mm-hmm.
reporting on it.
Yeah.
Even in their reality, this is comparatively strange.
Now, Larissa, just about 30 seconds remaining. Tell us about David Dastich.
David Dastich is, he was a former Polish intelligence operative and for 14 years a double agent for the CIA against the Russians. And he was eventually caught and imprisoned. But after the fall of communism, he was freed, and he now works as an intelligence reporter.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just guessing that there's more to this story that we might see if we stay tuned to rawstory.com.
Well, let's hope so. But I, for one, I need a break from this story.
All right. Well, we'll give you a break. We'll give you a week. We'll talk to you.
Oh, a whole week. Okay.
We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, my friend.
Thank you, Larissa. Great work.
Thank you.
Very proud to read it. Coming up next, the Free Speech Zone kicks off with Melanie Sloan reporting on the U.S. attorneys who've been sacked and Joe Wilson's reaction to the Libby verdict. Next on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's tax time again. And there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay Area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund as soon as you need it. In 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, the choice is yours. The personnel at Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax return tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today, located at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to take a copy of your 2005 federal and California returns and W-2 1099 info for 2006. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today at 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
Put your hands together for Georgia's very own Mega Millions winner, Mr. Ed Nabors.
The 52-year-old truck driver came forward this afternoon with one of the two winning tickets in last night's Mega Millions lottery drawing. His share of the $390 million jackpot after taxes comes to more than $80 million.
There's a lot of things I can do, you know, with this much money. You know, can help a lot of people.
To start, Nabors plans to help his children and grandchildren buy himself some land on a lake and do a lot of fishing. The second winning ticket was sold in New Jersey. No one's come forward yet. 9-year-old Jessica Lunsford was abducted from her Florida home, raped, and left to die in a shallow grave. Today, WFLA Radio's Evan Brown was at the courthouse as sex offender John Cooey was convicted after just 4 hours of deliberations.
The jury found Cooey guilty of four counts. The main one is murder in the first degree. He was also found guilty of burglarizing the house, kidnapping the girl, and sexually battering her. He'll next come back for a sentencing phase. He is facing the death penalty.
The jurors could also opt for life in prison. Former Senator Bob Dole and former Health Secretary Donna Shalala, who lead the investigation of military and veterans hospitals, got their marching orders from President Bush today.
We're bipartisan, and it's important that we all do what we can to make this right and to do it quickly.
Their commission's report is due in 45 days. NASA has been wondering what to do with astronaut Lisa Nowak ever since she was arrested in Orlando after driving from Houston wearing a diaper, allegedly to kidnap her rival for the affections of astronaut Bill Oefelein. Now, NASA spokesman Bob Jacobs says Nowak is off the astronaut roster.
Because Captain Nowak is active military and not a civil servant, we don't have those same administrative options. So the only option available to us is to return her to her military branch.
The Navy says Nowak will be assigned to the Chief of Naval Air Training in Corpus Christi. She's currently out on bail with an electronic tracking device strapped to her ankle. Kobe Bryant is benched. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman has that.
For the second time this season, Los Angeles Laker guard Kobe Bryant has been handed a one-game suspension. The NBA found Bryant guilty of careless play last night when his arms, moving wildly after a block shot, caught the face of the Minnesota Timberwolves' Marko Jaric. In January, Bryant was also suspended for a game for a similar action. In that incident, Bryant's arm struck the face of the San Antonio Spurs' Manu Ginobili. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
The Dow lost 15 points today, closing at 12,192. The Nasdaq down 10.5 points, and the price of oil jumped more than a dollar to $61.82 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. What I did to dust on your floor, I'm now doing to dust in your air. Introducing my new Orrick Professional Air Purifier with the Truman Cell with 30 patents pending. It's your best defense against bad indoor air because it not only captures dust and germs, but harmful compounds from toxic household chemicals. For a risk-free trial, call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200.
Some things are pretty easy, like getting some sun in Florida or finding a cheesesteak in Philadelphia. Well, at Econo Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels, it's almost that easy to earn a quick $50. This spring, all it takes is 4 nights to earn a $50 room credit with the Easy Choice Rewards program. Pretty easy, right? Call 800-4-CHOICE or visit choicehotels.com for our best internet rate guarantee. We'll see you there.
Earn 2 stamps per night for qualifying stays between 2:01 and 4:30:07. Maximum 10 stamps per stay. For program and guarantee details, visit choicehotels.com.
Barely in circulation, some of the new $1 coins have already become collector's items. CBS's Jim Taylor explains.
They are godless dollars. Before the mistake was caught, an unknown number of new $1 coins minted without the words, "In God We Trust." And we know they're worth more than a buck, fetching $50 a piece online right now. The properly minted coins have the inscription printed around the edge of the gold-colored coin. First to have the word stamped around the edge since the 1933 Double Eagle. Among the rarest and most valuable coins in the world. Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Robert Hancock of Carterville, Illinois, is using coin to send a message about the rising cost of energy. Hancock got fed up when his monthly electric bill jumped 200% to $526.62, so he decided to pay Ameren, the power company, in pennies. The postage cost him $50, but he says it's well worth it to cause them a little inconvenience. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
So you're a consultant?
Yes, sir.
What's with the wall of sticky notes?
It's my small business accounting system. Unpaid invoices go on the purple ones.
And the green?
New customers.
So unpaid bills are the yellow ones.
How'd you know?
I took a shot. You know, there's an easier way to manage your business.
Yeah?
Yeah, QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you write checks, send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't.
I'll switch. So, need a couple hundred sticky notes?
I'm going to pass on that. QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Office Max, Best Buy, or Amazon.com.
I was in a car accident the other day. Nothing major, but enough to ruin my day. Well, I'm a Progressive customer, and they have these claim service centers where you just drive in, sign a couple forms, and drive away in a rental until your car's fixed. Couldn't be easier. They even guarantee the repairs for as long as you have your car. And the first thing they asked me was, "Are you all right?" The first thing my buddies asked was, "How's the car?"
Get more for your money at Progressive.com. Progressive. It's about you, and it's about time.
Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in over 50 locations nationally. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Live from San Francisco, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Lively, informative, compelling, progressive talk radio. And it's interactive, too, which is a fancy way of saying he takes your phone calls. Toll free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. Fasten your seatbelt and let's take a ride in Peter B.'s America.
We launch into the free speed zone this hour. Your calls and comments are welcome. Do you know the rules? We take calls on any subject, from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. And in case you can't think of anything to call and comment on, let's get the latest from Washington and Melanie Sloan. She's Executive Director of CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Hello, Melanie.
Hi, Peter.
Yesterday was a good day in many respects because a clear verdict came out of the Libby trial. I have some misgivings about Patrick Fitzgerald's decision not to pursue any further investigations. But let me first ask you, as counsel for Joe and Valerie Plame Wilson, what your reaction is to the verdict and how it may or may not strengthen the civil suit that you are pursuing against Libby, Cheney, Rove et al.
Well, of course, everyone over on the Wilson team was very pleased with the verdict. I spent a lot of time with Joe Wilson yesterday, and I also talked to Valerie Wilson at great length. And they are both mostly really relieved to see the conviction because Joe has been particularly under attack for so long by the Bush administration in so many ways, And this was really a validation of everything he's been saying. And even some of the newspapers, which have been kind of negative about Joe Wilson in the past few months, have suddenly changed their tune and recognized that there really was this concerted conspiracy at the highest levels of the White House, really orchestrated by Vice President Cheney against Joe Wilson to retaliate against him for outing the real justification behind the Iraq War.
And you just said what is key to my position, orchestrated by Dick Cheney. And my impression was that Fitzgerald was using the Libby case and the conviction that he won to try to put pressure on Libby and others to tell more about what really went on and who controlled this smear campaign.
Well, it does look to me like Libby is falling on his sword for Cheney, but there is always the possibility that in order to avoid a jail sentence that Mr. Libby will give up information on Mr. Cheney. I wouldn't hold out for that, but that's what we have the civil suit for. As you said earlier, Valerie and Joe have sued Vice President Cheney, Karl Rove, Scooter Libby, and Richard Armitage in an attempt to get to the truth of the matter, and that would be the only opportunity that the American public would ever have to hear Vice President Cheney under oath being questioned about the administration's justification for the Iraq War.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we're entitled to the truth. I'm more interested in that than, honestly, seeing Dick Cheney in the defendant's seat and, you know, possibly convicted. To me, the truth and proper accountability is more important than any kind of vengeance or a sense of getting even.
Well, then the civil suit is for you.
That's
exactly why Joe Wilson and Valerie Wilson have filed a civil suit. It is for that exact reason. They both want to have a sense of accountability. They want, first of all, to make it perfectly clear that it is not acceptable for high-level government officials to abuse their power and bring the full weight of the government, of the federal government, against regular citizens who speak the truth about what's going on. And they also want to deter future government officials from taking such kind of actions.
Mm-hmm. Now, please remind us, if you have the information available, there is a website that Joe and Valerie Wilson set up so that people can make contributions to the legal fund. And as I recall, the way it is structured, if there is some sort of a cash settlement after the legal fees are paid off, that money will be donated to defend future whistleblowers. Is that right?
That's right. Joe and Valerie are really not looking to make a killing on this case. The case for them is about finding out the truth, about getting Dick Cheney to sit for a deposition, having Karl Rove's testimony. It's not about finances. They do need to pay their legal fees. We represent them entirely pro bono, but they have some prior legal fees that were pretty steep. And they do have a website, wilsonsupport.org.
Mm-hmm. Wilsonsupport.org. And I just want to say that I've interviewed Joe Wilson on four or five occasions. I have, sat and chatted with him on a couple of other occasions. And he is a real stand-up guy who, you know, was a Republican-appointed ambassador. He was the number two guy in Baghdad when April Glaspie flaked out. And a lot of people give short shrift to the courage that he showed at that time standing up to Saddam Hussein. And to see the way he's been smeared as if he were, you know, some dangerous loony lefty who, you know, couldn't be loyal to his country is just so far off the mark. And what he did was true loyalty to the country in trying to bring the truth about the lies that led us into the war in Iraq.
That's right, because Joe Wilson was really loyal to the principles that our country was founded on, like the First Amendment rights, rather than to any particular person, as in George Bush.
Indeed. So next I want to turn to the situation with the U.S. attorneys, some of whom were subpoenaed to appear before House and Senate Judiciary Committees yesterday, and we're learning more about the political pressure that was applied to some of the eight who have been summarily dismissed. And most pointedly, David Iglesias, who was the U.S. attorney in New Mexico, was reluctant to share the information. He had said that if they didn't subpoena him, he didn't really want to spill about this because, well, New Mexico is a small state and there are powerful people involved. Well, we know who at least two of those are now, and Crew has filed complaints against Senator Pete Domenici, a Republican, and Congresswoman Heather Wilson, also a Republican, for their interference, these back-channel phone calls that they made to David Iglesias, trying to pressure him to announce some indictments about against Democrats in New Mexico prior to the election last fall.
Yes. Frankly, Peter, this is a story that just keeps getting worse for the Bush administration as more and more facts come out on a regular basis. But David Iglesias has said now that Senator Pete Domenici and Representative Heather Wilson both tried to pressure him about right before the election to indict some New Mexico Democrats in order to help Republicans at the polls in November. And that is just strictly prohibited by both House and Senate rules. So because of that, before David Iglesias testified, actually, Senator Domenici finally admitted his role, although interestingly, just a week earlier, he had denied knowing anything about this, so on top of it all, he lied. But there's a Senate rule, Rule 43, that says senators can't contact U.S. attorneys to talk about pending investigations. And this was a pending investigation. Now, Senator Domenici has said, well, he was only calling for a status report. You can't call for a status report. The rules are very clear that you can't call for a status report or background information because that, too, will be perceived as pressure by any sitting U.S. attorney hearing from a sitting member of Congress.
And Domenici has no excuse. Wasn't he a member of the Senate when the Keating Five were exposed for their interference in the legal problems that Charlie Keating was having with his flaky savings and loans?
Sure, he absolutely was. But you know what? None of them have any excuse. The Senate rules are incredibly clear on this point. And in fact, that's why the Department of Justice has an Office of Legislative Affairs. That's the interface between senators and other and members of Congress and the Department of Justice, and U.S. attorneys are part of the Department of Justice. If Senator Domenici or Heather Wilson had a question about something that was going on in New Mexico, the appropriate way for them to handle that would have been to ask the Office of Legislative Affairs for an update.
Mm-hmm. And Heather Wilson was in a very closely contested re-election campaign. I can't recall the exact numbers, but it was very tight, 1% or 2%. And I don't believe Domenici was up for re-election last fall. So it appears that the effort was intended to try to hold on to her seat.
Oh, it was absolutely intended to hold on to her seat and give folks something else to focus on, the indictment of Democrats, make Heather Wilson a little safer. I think this is really going to hurt Heather Wilson. Over in the Senate Ethics Committee actually has said they're now going to take this matter up, and Domenici hired a lawyer, and Peter, you'll be very interested to know, he hired Duke Cunningham's lawyer today.
Really?
Yeah. So that's sort of, you know, enjoyable for its own sense. But now, as for Heather Wilson, although we prepared an ethics complaint, as your listeners know, if they've been listening to us talk over the past year, we can't file a complaint with the House Ethics Committee because only members of the House can file against other members of Congress.
And have you found a willing member to carry that down the hall for you?
No, we haven't. So although plenty of members of Congress are screaming about this, plenty of Democrats are all up in arms and think this is just, you know, one of the worst violations ever, I have yet to see a member of Congress take up our complaint and file it with the House Ethics Committee. We sent our letter over to the Ethics Committee, but they're free to ignore it, and they certainly don't have any kind of exemplary record of investigating the misconduct of members of the House, so it remains to be seen what they'll do.
That's so disappointing, because I actually thought that we were going to see a new era of ethics standards and activism, and after all, there is a study group looking at appointing some outside ethics body to police the House and the Senate. This kind of suggests that that's just another report that will be filed and shredded.
This is the triumph of hope over experience, Peter. As you know, the Ethics Committee doesn't have a good record. The commission has been put in place by the Republicans and the Democrats, I think, largely to sort of punt the issue till May when they're finally going to come back. And I wouldn't be expecting them to come back in favor of this Office of Public Integrity, because there are people on that commission who have spoken out vehemently against such a commission.
And one final question. Carol Lamb was one of the eight who was sacked. She was the U.S. attorney who got the conviction against Duke Cunningham and was moving against Mitchell Wade and the others who actually bribed Duke Cunningham. Do you feel that that case is safe in the hands of the staff members and a future appointee in San Diego?
Well, it's so hard to know. Mitchell Wade was prosecuted out of the U.S. Attorney's Office in Washington, D.C. Brent Wilkes has now been indicted out in San Diego, so it would be nearly impossible for that case to be dropped by some future U.S. attorney now that he's been indicted and the facts are so egregious in that case. There are questions, though, about who else might have been involved, what other members of Congress might have been involved in that whole scandal, and will this have a chilling effect on the future U.S. attorney? That certainly seems to be the case. And before we just sign off, I want to let your listeners know that the reason people need to be concerned about this isn't just about individual U.S. attorneys who've lost their jobs. It's because it is a tenet of the American justice system, the criminal justice system, that it is fair and impartial. Partisan political considerations cannot be taken into account in deciding who should be indicted and who should be prosecuted, because otherwise it will undermine everybody's faith in the criminal justice system, and that's a really serious matter.
It is indeed. Thank you very much, Melanie. Thanks for your work. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
Melanie Sloan, crew, they're on the web at citizensforethics.org, citizens, F-O-R, ethics.org. Into the free speech zone next. Your calls are welcome. The switchboard is open, toll-free, at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B. Collins. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Karma Shell at Rio Road and Mid Karma Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
All righty, folks, let's take a look at the very latest and get you to your destination safely. Let's mention we've got a problem working, still being reported Highway 1, just before Pajaro Road, reports of a stalled vehicle. Although it looks like it was partially blocking the right lane, it appears they've now pushed that vehicle off to the shoulder. Salinas, so actually this is Monterey, Salinas Road at Warner, getting word of a crash there. Looks like it's a vehicle, a van and an SUV involved in the crash. The left lane is blocked, and actually it appears that one of the vehicles may be involved in law enforcement, so the roadway completely blocked at this point, and we'll try to get more information from the CHP when it becomes available, but it looks like Salinas Road at Warner completely blocked. Highway 9, just before State Route 35 in Santa Cruz, there are reports of a crash there.
The Peter B. Collins Show continues, and I continue as your humble host, Peter B. You can email me, peter@peterbcollins.com, or if you think I'm full of it, send an email to fullofit@peterbcollins.com. And a quick program note, we'll be live tomorrow, and then Friday you'll hear pre-recorded Best of Peter B. Collins, so I can attend an industry conference in Southern California. And tomorrow will be Matt Renner's last day as a producer and the guy who answers the phones here at the Peter B. Collins Show. He's moving on to truthout.org as a reporter, and we're excited for him and wish him all the best. And if you want to drop him a note with best wishes, do it. Matt@peterbcollins.com. That email will be active for a while, so there's no deadline on it. But if you're so inclined, let him know what you think about the work he's been doing. I, for one, think he's done a fabulous job, and I'm quite grateful. Up first, we got Steve in Watsonville. Hey, Steve, you're on the air.
Yeah, personally, Pete, I'd give Matt an A1 reference. Since it is a free speech zone, however, I'd like to quickly get to what I'd like to talk about.
Go ahead.
That's okay?
Yeah.
James Cameron's latest movie, and what seems Andy Greeley has written a response about this Jesus Christ God that that Bush claims to worship.
Yeah.
Peter, what if Pontius Pilate was as big a putz as George W. Bush? All we know verifiably about the time of J.C.'s crucifixion depends on accepting Pilate as a viable agent of Roman power.
Yeah.
What if he was as clueless as George W. Bush?
Have you been watching the Rome series on HBO?
I'm sorry.
There's a dramatic series. It's called Rome, and it's about the decline of the empire. And it's on Sunday nights on HBO. On what?
On Gibbon's Decline and Fall?
No, I think it's based on a British view of the fall of the Roman Empire.
That's basically Gibbon.
But it's pretty interesting, and if you don't get HBO, you can get last season at your public library. And it's entertaining, and it does bring out a lot of the issues that you're talking about.
Well,
and I can't say for sure if Pilate was as much of a putz as Bush, but I really like the question.
For those listeners that don't do that HBO thing, just maybe they could meditate on the right wingers that are hanging in. How easy would it have been for a smart Palestinian of the time to fake a resurrection?
I'll think about that. Thanks, Steve, and thanks for playing the Rolling Stones in the background while you called. Ben in Salinas, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Good afternoon, sir.
Hi.
I'm calling to run something past you and see if I'm nuts by myself or maybe you're as crazy as I am. This thing that this dog and pony show that's been going on with Hillary and Obama, is he black enough? And we all know that America, generally speaking, does not like intelligent, mature women who keep to their vows of marriage or whatever vows they made. Basically, I think Hillary, I almost hate to say this, but I'm not sure she can be trusted anymore. I think Obama, I wish the man well, but why aren't we listening to Kucinich and Richardson, the people that really are not burned out and bought off?
Mm-hmm.
I think we're being scammed. I think that Rupert Murdoch is playing into, because him and Hillary are buddies now. To what extent, we can only guess. But Murdoch is no dummy. He owns half of the damn media world now or more, between him and Ted Turner. But here's the thing. Here's what I see. They've started this thing early. 2 years of any campaigning is going to drive the voters and the Democrats and whoever. They're going to be driven absolutely nuts. Plus, you see, the Democratic Party, who we gave the keys to, driving in circles instead of using their one option, which is to cut off the funds and let the funds already in the works do their job of cleaning it up. Now, here's what's going to happen, in my opinion. That's why they're keeping Jeb in the shadows. I think the machinery, the computers, the buyouts, and all of the congressional people of power, the wealthy Fortune 500 people running the world, at the last minute they'll trot Jeb out. After 2 years of watching all these other people beat each other up, including the mediocre Republicans like McCain and the other Republican Lieberman, after so many years of watching all these people pick at each other, he's going to come out and he will look like a blinding light because of the boredom that's going to be beaten into the people's heads. And if Jeb gets in, he's got one job to do, to help them get away with all the plunder they've taken and bury
and issue some pardons. Well, a couple of things, Ben. One is that on a separate track, there is similar speculation that Al Gore is sitting back watching Hillary and Barack duke it out and, you know, kind of bring each other down a few notches, and that he may sail in after he wins the Nobel Prize next fall. I have no way of confirming that, and in some ways it's appealing. In other ways, I'm not so struck by it.
Well,
but I think it's going to be
the election once. There's nothing.
It's true.
What would be wrong with giving him his due and then ruling everything that this illegal president?
I just don't want to go backwards. I think we need to move forward. Thank you, Ben. More calls next.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
One Day Income Tax Service, family owned and operated since 1944, specializes in year-round professional tax preparation. Do you want your refund quickly? Stop by One Day Income Tax Service. They offer tax preparation at reasonable rates and work to meet the needs of military families with the capacity to process all out-of-state returns. If you prefer to prepare your own return at home, they can help you expedite your refund by filing your return electronically. Let One Day Income Tax Service assist you with your return and maximize your refund. Stop by 885 Broadway Avenue in Seaside, where no appointment is necessary. Looking for quick, professional, and reasonable tax return preparation? Visit One Day Income Tax Service, 885 Broadway Avenue, Seaside, or call 394-8010. That's 831-394-8010. One Day Income Tax Service, where you walk in with a copy of your most recent tax return, personal ID, and W-2 1099 info for 2006, and you walk out with your completed tax return.
Pour me another tequila.
Here's what people are saying about the hottest new show in town.
Joe, thank you so much for being here.
I want to wish you the best of luck with this. I think it's a great service.
Hey, drink up, all you people.
12-Step Talk Uncensored, where we take the shame and blame out of addiction. Join me, Sheila Gale, Saturday afternoons, 4 to 5. 12-Step Talk Uncensored. It's about time.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue in the free speech zone where we take calls from people with any viewpoint on any subject from anywhere within the sound of my voice, even from the moron in the White House. You can call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. Scooter Libby, a certified liar. Let's check in with a guy they call W at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Hey, Dub, how you doing today?
All right, well, once again, you've pissed me off in the first 30 seconds. you called me a moron.
Yeah,
I don't go calling you a bleeding heart queer. I could. In fact, I just did, but I don't normally.
Well, you know, there's Ann Coulter out there. She'll call anybody a faggot that she doesn't agree with. So we live with that on an ongoing basis, W.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you about Ann Coulter. I mean, she's just one whacked-out walking skeleton. she's out of her mind.
Well, let me ask you what the mood is there after the Libby verdict. Were you surprised?
Surprised in that I didn't really know who Scooter Libby was.
I see.
But let me tell you something about the Republican Party. We're resilient. We've had a lot of indictments during my administration. I don't know. Someone should count. Probably more than any other administration, maybe except for good old Nixon. But we've sort of developed a callus, if you will, that's making it possible for us to go out day to day and get our work done.
Yeah. Well, then why is it that you sent Dana Perino out to tell the press that you will have no comment on this because you regard it as an ongoing criminal investigation? The guy was convicted. The case is over. Fitzgerald says...
No, but they're going to appeal it.
Yeah, that's not an ongoing criminal investigation. That's an appeal.
As an appeal, which means the case is ongoing.
No.
Look, I'm a decider. If I say it's ongoing, it's god darn ongoing. Right? So you just, you know, you take that burrito and shove it up your face.
All right, but this isn't Burger King. I'll have to let you have it your way anyway.
That's
okay,
correct.
But what about what you just said, that you didn't really know Scooter Libby? He worked in Vice President Dick Cheney's office for 5 years.
That's what I hear. The thing is, I don't notice things sometimes. I'm one of those guys, if I were to go into, let's say I was to go to a cocktail party with you, Peter.
Yeah.
And we were to talk for a half hour.
Right.
And then I was to leave the room and someone was to say, hey, what color was Peter's shirt? I wouldn't know.
Uh-huh.
Mostly that's because I wasn't looking at your shirt.
I see. What were you actually looking at?
I was looking at the shrimp at a buffet.
Okay.
They were good. Did you try those?
Well, yeah, they were really good. Anyway, you've played this this spiel before. You know, you said you didn't know Kenny Boy Lay. He was the number one contributor to you, both as governor and as candidate for president. He helped pay for your inauguration.
He did?
Yeah.
Let me just look.
With money he stole from the Enron shareholders.
What's that?
Kenny Boy paid for your inauguration with money he stole from me, an Enron shareholder.
That's absolutely correct. And you see, here's the thing. We like to just deny the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
If you deny long enough, you don't have to tell truth. I'm letting you know because I'm a lame duck turkey president. and I'm a kind of I'm impotent right now in a White House.
Well, do you want us to send over some Viagra? I mean, you just appointed Bob Dole to a commission.
Yeah.
Bob's got Bob has more Viagra pills than Rush Limbaugh had OxyContin.
That's correct, and he needs them. I've seen him naked.
Oh God.
It's not pretty.
Oh, I don't want to go there. All right, one more thing, W. You also trotted this ruse out about Jack Abramoff. You claimed you had never met him.
Yeah, see, I'm denying. You catch my game?
Yeah, I think I do.
So what were you saying about Jackie Boy?
Well, there are photographs of you cozying up to him at the White House as he brought some Native American Indian tribe leaders over to schmooze with you.
Come on, man. Like I said, I don't care anymore. I'm almost out of office. I've already got a sitcom in development, plus I've started my own improv troupe. My career's going well.
Uh-huh.
I know all these guys, and who cares? I'm just going to pardon them anyway.
Yeah, I'm
you
afraid.
Know what I'm saying?
I'm afraid that's true.
Yeah.
All right. Well, W, thanks for checking in. Now, I understand you're heading to South America. Are you going to visit that ranch your daughter bought in Paraguay?
Me voy a beber muchas cervezas.
All right, W, that's enough. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. too much. Peter V. in Monterey, help me out. You're on the air on the
Peter
V.
That guy was a denying, deciding derelict, Peter. Say no more.
Absolutely.
Peter, I want to give you credit for getting on the smokinest, hottest free speech investigating babes on the planet. I'm talking about Melanie Sloan and her ability to overturn the political stones to expose the slime that's beneath it.
Mm-hmm.
Larissa Alexandrovna,
see,
again, airing the ugly, illegitimate laundry of the Bush administration.
That's quite a story. And did you notice how she danced around whether she actually went to Poland or not? I don't know why she needs to maintain deniability on that.
Larissa, she seems to shun the spotlight in favor of illuminating those activities that we need to see clearly.
Well, that's a good point. You know, she has, in my experience, has never tried to insert herself and become part of the story. And that's a failing of a lot of overpaid so-called journalists in the corporate media.
Well, Peter, I'll turn the free speech over to the others, and I want to give you credit for bringing on such absolutely stark contrast to the Ann Coulter vultures of the world. And go Matt Renner. That's what I have to say to leave you this day. Thank
All
you,
right.
Peter.
Thank you, Peter. I appreciate the call. 888-5 Peter B. If you'd like to join us here in the Free Speech Zone. And I want to put a shout out to our listeners in Phoenix, Arizona. I know some of you are working through the transition. We used to be on AM radio there until last Friday, and now you are listening online. But I want to thank Winifred in Mesa, who dropped me an email. She's listening online. And let's see, a woman named Elizabeth Taylor, but I don't think the former wife of Senator John Warner. This is Biz in Montana. And she's listening online, too. So those of you who used to catch us either on the Nova M stream or on AM radio, thanks for making the move to the Internet and picking up the Peter B. Collins Show. The best site to go to for the link is peterbcollins.com. And George in Phoenix is listening. Hello, George. You're on the air.
Peter B., I wanted to know.
Yeah.
Hey, could we impeach Bush after he's out of presidency?
No.
What happens, like, so say we start the procedure when he's in. Though.
Yeah.
Okay, can the procedures go on?
No. No, because impeachment simply leads to removal from office, and if the term has expired, then impeachment would be considered moot.
How about, say he leaves office, could we bring him up on criminal trial?
Possibly. I'm not an expert on those issues, so I don't want to mislead you, but I do believe that a president is liable for crimes committed under the cover or color of office. What I don't know is if, you know, we could get a proceeding like that started and moving through the American courts, because the Republicans have packed so many of the courts with their judges. So we may wind up with the kind of foreign indictment that we've seen of Rumsfeld and a few others that have occurred in Germany, where we might have some moral victory where an indictment and ultimately a verdict would be returned. But I'm not optimistic that, practically speaking, we could ever conduct legal proceedings of a criminal nature against Bush and Cheney once they leave office. But I would welcome, if there's a law student or a member of a bar association somewhere, an actual practicing attorney who knows what the issues are related to presidential immunity, I'd like to know. There was a ruling in Bill Clinton's case that he had to stand trial or participate, give depositions in the Paula Jones case, because a president is not immune from personal lawsuits when he is president. But I believe there is some clause that gives them immunity for their official actions, unless I think there's a very high standard of proof that we would have to meet. Although, I'm pretty persuaded that he's done so many whoppers that we might be able to meet almost any standard they put out there. Yeah. Again, it's whether there's the practical and political will to pursue it.
One more thing.
Sure.
Switzerland, I hear, has expedition in Paraguay. So if Bush runs down there and they want Switzerland tries him for war crimes or anything else he wanted, you know, they can go down and get him.
So do you know that for a fact, George?
Well, I don't know for a fact. The guy was telling me.
Yeah.
Know.
Okay. I've only speculated, and you know, this whole story about the property in Paraguay has never been validated by a second or third source. The original source for it was a Cuban news service of unknown credibility. Yeah. So I want to be very clear. We can talk about it. It's kind of an internet legend at this point, but I've never seen anything that actually proves that Bush or one of the daughters has purchased property in Paraguay. It does, of course, open up a lot of interesting questions about extradition and why the hell, with a ranch in Crawford, he'd want to go to South America to clear brush.
Yeah, you know. Maybe he can wreck a bicycle down there, too.
We can hope.
Hey, man, have a good one.
George, thanks for checking in from Phoenix. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
All right, and tell your friends they're still welcome to call in the Free Speech Zone, even if they're not able to listen online or on the radio, because you can call in, we can put you on hold, and you can hear the show that way. And, of course, in the Free Speech Zone, you don't have to know what happened before or after you, because we take calls on any subject from any viewpoint. And I've got lines open if you'd like to join us, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Got to go to a break in a second, and I just wanted to mention one story that I didn't have time for yesterday. There's a tentative settlement between the Federal Communications Commission and four of the largest radio station owners in the country. And those are Clear Channel, CBS, Entercom, and a company called Citadel Broadcasting. They have agreed to pay $12.5 million to resolve claims that they accepted cash and other incentives in exchange for playing songs on the radio, a practice we know under the name payola. And it's interesting because as part of the settlement, the leaders of my union and some other groups, my union is AFTRA, the American Federation of TV and Radio Artists, were party to the negotiations, and they got these companies, in addition to paying the cash fines, to cough up 8,400 half-hour segments that will be featuring the music of independent artists who didn't have the wherewithal, the scratch, to buy their way onto these major radio stations. So sometime soon, you'll be listening to a music station, and they'll say the following half hour of music you've never heard is brought to you by the American Association of Independent Music. And this is part of the settlement. Now, what's missing from this settlement is, I would like to know what songs these big radio station companies promoted in exchange for the illegal payments. I want to know what dreck made it to the top of the charts because of the shady deals that these radio operators made with the record labels or other parties. And that has apparently been sanitized in this settlement. And in particular, I'd like to know if those American Idol graduates actually had real hit records or the kind that were propped up by payola. More of your calls coming up next. Grab a line and we'll talk at 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 388-573-8372, and that puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
There was this man who almost learned to walk at a rehab center that almost got built by people who almost gave. Almost gave. How good is almost giving? About as good as almost walking. As generous a nation as we are, sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. Don't almost give. Give. Visit our website at don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to worship as you choose. And when you disagree with Billy Sunshine, you have the right to be wrong.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM. Tune in Sundays 3 to 5.
And a very pleasant good evening to you. Let's take a look at our last traffic report of the night. So we're going to talk about what's happening on CHP. Just telling this, in fact, this is a situation working. It's 156 at 25, State Route 156 at 25. Apparently, there's metal in the intersection there, and it came off of a trailer that was passing by, so just be advised. In the Monterey, Carpinteria Road at Aramis, we do have a train that has apparently stopped, and because that train is stopped now, the roadway is completely blocked. Don't have any traffic starting to back up pretty significantly in the area, so at this point, really don't have any other information. But I can tell you this report is brought to you by the men's store, JCPenney. Hey guys, come to the JCPenney's men's store for the spring sale. The men's store, JCPenney, makes it easy to get in and get out and to find it as well. The right looks matter every day at JCPenney's. That's traffic.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Our bumper music is designed to entertain your humble host. And I just felt a need for a little AC and DC. Can you handle it?
I'm hot, and when I'm not, I'm cold as ice. Get out of my way, just step aside. I'll pay the price. What I want, I take. What I want, I break. And I don't want you. But fix my mouth, I can change your life. There's nothing you can do.
I want to dedicate that one to Deborah in Phoenix. She's figured out how to dial up the Peter B. Collins Show online. Jake's on the line from Arcata. Hey, Jake, you're on the air.
Hey, Peter B. Your show has the best bumper music, by the way.
Well, thanks. It keeps me going. And it permits me to make tax-deductible purchases of music at CD stores.
Hey, I'd like to talk to you about the Paraguay rumor about the big ranch on top of the aquifer down in Paraguay that's supposedly
98,000 acres, they said.
Yeah, I don't know if it's true or not, but you know, it would be perfect historical symmetry considering how many Nazi war criminals fled to South America.
Yeah.
And, you know, it would be appropriate for these new Nazi war criminals to flee to South America, and definitely considering that the Bush crime family, all the way back to Prescott Bush, W's grandfather,
mm-hmm.
was very much involved with the Nazis, helping bring them to power in Germany, in fact. We all know that Prescott Bush was the managing director of Brown Brothers Harriman,
mm-hmm.
and one of their subsidiary corporations, Union Banking Corporation of New Jersey.
And don't forget the Walkers, the money people out of St. Louis who married into the Bush family, and that's where we get the George Herbert Walker Bush name.
That's right. That's right. So it comes from both sides.
Yep.
You know, we remember what happened with the Union Banking Corporation. They were trading with the Nazis. They were funneling money from Nazi Germany into America, basically laundering money for the political leadership of the Nazi Party.
Oh, there you are. You're just nitpicking. I mean, come on. Halliburton's been doing business with Iran through a Cayman subsidiary. I mean, it's just the way things work in the world, Jake.
Well, we all remember that Daddy Bush was doing business with Iran during the Iran-Contra scandal. After all, we were sending missiles to Iran. This is, of course, a very interesting coincidence. The day Ronald Reagan became president was the first day we started shipping missiles to Iran. And, of course, it was also the day the hostages were released. What an interesting coincidence.
Well, and let's just refresh people's memories, because I happened to be sitting in front of the TV as Reagan raised that right hand to take the oath of office. And I cannot forget the split-screen images of Reagan being sworn in as the jets with the hostages were either taking off from Tehran or landing at some U.S. facility somewhere. And it was just so clear that the October surprise had been in play. And that's what a lot of people still have doubts about. But Bill Casey and Bush Sr. went to Paris in October of 1980, as the campaign was ramping up, and they made a deal with the Iranians, and that was the genesis of Iran.
George Herbert Walker Bush's son, W., says, you know, we can't talk to Iran. Hell, his dad was talking to Iran. You know, I'm sorry, but all you have to do is read that one book that Barbara Honecker wrote, October Surprise. It's all laid out there. I mean, quite clearly, there was a secret deal that the Reagan campaign made with the Iranians to get themselves into office. Carter, you know, was trying to cut that deal, you know, through before the election. Basically, it was in October of 1980.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to get the hostages released. But all of a sudden, his deal fell through with the Iranians, and it was because William Casey, the Reagan's campaign manager, who went on to head the CIA, he cut a deal, and it was a better deal. And the Iranians took it, and that's how we ended up with Ronald Reagan and George Bush in the White House.
Right, and Jimmy Carter, to his credit, saw the hostages as more important than his own re-election, and he basically, didn't campaign much as he concentrated on trying to get the hostages released. Maybe he felt that that was the gambit that could help him hold on to his office, but I do believe that he just felt that that was priority one, and if he could get re-elected, fine. If not, you know, so be it.
Right. And I do remember that the media back then, they were actually doing a job. In fact, it was Ted Koppel's Nightline that got its genesis from the whole Iranian hostage
scandal. That's right.
They were very harsh on Carter, gave him a hard time, put him to the test. And, you know, in retrospect, Jimmy Carter looks like a fantastic president. But at the time, they treated him like he was trash. This guy in the White House now killed 3,200 American soldiers based on lies, and they're still giving him a break?
All right, but let me give you three things to counterbalance the kind of nostalgia for Carter. I do give him a lot of credit. He's done a lot of good work since he left the White House. And to his credit, when he was president, he tried to link our foreign policy with a standard of human rights. But he let the Shah come into the United States. He propped up the Marcos regime in the Philippines, and he submitted to the advice of Zbigniew Brzezinski and funded the Mujahideen in Afghanistan, which brought us Al-Qaeda, which brings us full circle. So he's, you know, he made some mistakes there, and I'm not the kind of guy who just pats Democrats on the back and says, we'll forget your sins. Thank you, Jake.
I appreciate that, Peter. Thanks.
Yep, good to talk to you. And we've got Hal in Coos Bay, Oregon. Good evening, Hal. Welcome to the program.
Oh, hi. Good evening.
Thanks for calling.
I was calling when you were talking about previous to the break about the payola
and
music industry and all that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
I was wondering, how much money would I have to pay you to maybe use some of my songs for your bumper music?
Well, you know, I don't accept payment for that, but if you send me your songs and I like them, I will play them voluntarily and never charge you.
Hey, all right.
What kind of music do you make, Hal?
Oh, geez, you know, I kind of have, I guess it'd be folk rock kind of thing. And,
yeah.
You know, kind of slightly protesty.
You do stuff with political themes?
Yes.
Well, then why are you holding back?
I don't know. Because it's hard for me to get it, you know, I got to upload it onto an MP3 and then send it to you. But I'll do that. I've been thinking about that.
Well, we accept MP3s, and my email account at peterbcollins.com can accept up to 10 megabytes.
Okay.
So send them to me one at a time, and I'll be happy to listen to them, and we'll check them out.
All right, yeah. The name of one of them is Crimes and the Criminals, so I think you kind of know where that one's going.
Yeah. Well, we've got some very talented listeners, and I've received, you know, a lot of the songs that I have that have political themes, I don't even know where they came from. People emailed them to me, and if I like them, I play them. So, Hal, no payola required, and I've never accepted payola. I was a witness in a payola case once. I saw a sordid thing take place, and the result was that the group Queen had a hit across America, the song called Killer Queen. That was a result of payola, and I hated that song, and I was forced to play it over and over and over again so my boss could get free cocaine. I'll see you, Hal.
That's terrible.
That's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Bankers were back on the hot seat today as a Senate panel held hearings on credit card interest charges and fees that can quickly make a small debt unmanageable.
One member of the subcommittee, Democrat Claire McCaskill of Missouri, revealed that her mom had trouble paying off her credit card as interest rates and fees kept mounting.
My mother was in what I would term a debilitating depression about her inability to manage her personal finances.
Three senior credit card executives from Chase, Citi, and Bank of America were pressed by senators to make their policies clearer. They announced new steps to ease their penalties, but Akram Atal of Citi added there is risk for the banks.
Each and every time a person uses a credit card to buy something, we are in effect making them an unsecured loan.
Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Ed, neighbors should never need to borrow money again. As the winner of half the Mega Millions lottery jackpot, he gets more than $80 million after taxes. The Georgia truck driver says he's numb, and his plans so far are modest.
I'd like to buy just a little bit of lake property to stay up there.
The other winning ticket was sold in New Jersey. KYW Radio's David Madden has that part of the story.
New Jersey's winning ticket was sold at a liquor store in Woodbine, about a 40-minute drive south of Atlantic City. 2,700 people live here. Everybody knows everybody, and rumors are already flying. But the guy who sold the winning ticket, Jim Schroeder, insists he doesn't have a clue.
Hopefully it's somebody local that needs the money, and that's what I'm looking for. Because I would say probably 70% of the tickets are purchased locally.
Jim, as owner of Cam Park Liquors, gets a 10 grand bonus from the state. His staff hopes he'll divvy that money up with them.
Bob Dole says the shoddy treatment of outpatients at Walter Reed Army Medical Center is a tragedy.
Not fair to the family, not fair to the veteran. Our charge is to see if we could come up with some ideas that might correct that.
The former senator and former health secretary Donna Shalala lead a commission that will investigate patient care at all military and veterans hospitals. On Capitol Hill, Army Surgeon General Kevin Kiley was grilled again today, this time by Florida Republican Bill Young, who'd complained to Kiley about the treatment of one soldier his wife had visited.
Why was Josh Dunlop, a traumatic brain injury soldier, allowed to fall out of bed in intensive care three times? Any answer?
No, sir. Totally unacceptable. Way below the standard.
But, General, you were told about it twice.
Sir.